about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey, is it totally obvious that I'm not wearing underwear? Because it should be.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I like this because I have something called Asperger's. Having Asperger's makes some things very difficult for me, like looking people in the eye or saying hello. So I don't do those things very often. Some things also come very easily to me because I have Asperger's, like being smart and remembering almost everything. Another thing about Asperger's is that I always keep my promises. Some people say that having Asperger's can sometimes be a bad thing, but I'm glad I have it, because I think it's my greatest strength.
Who is this sad, pathetic human? Bean!
And now...
Bean, you're a dick!
Our feature presentation.
Very accurate. Very accurate.
It is.
Dare you!
Very accurate.
Hey there, girl.
Hey there.
We missed you yesterday.
Thank you, they're fine.
Excellent. How did she know?
I did. I heard part of the show.
You did?
It's not bad.
Really? Wait,
you guys
not, you
do pretty
our
good
show.
Work.
You get up 5 or 6? You're listening
I, you
to Big
know
Boy, right?
How you wake up at 5, and sure. So I just put it on my iPad and kind of dozed.
Huh.
And, but I laughed a few times.
What?
So, you haven't done that in 20 years in here.
I know. Mostly I would smile to myself, but a couple of times I actually chuckled.
All right.
Wow.
So
well, that's the biggest compliment we've ever received.
We got a chuckle.
The show's
out of Lisa.
Not that bad, and I almost chuckled once. Thank you, Lisa.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
That.
No problem.
Hey, I got another big Kevin and Bean show planned for today. It is Thursday morning. First, though, how about an early round of How Does the Story End?
Oh, I like it.
How does the story end, my friend? Friend, how does the story end?
Is that the mellowest intro Omar ever did?
Yes.
That's his smooth jazz intro that he did for the show on the Weave, I think. All right, you guys remember last year I told you this story about this former police officer in Minnesota. Her name is Anne Marie Rasmussen, and she sued the police department because she found out that other officers had been bringing up her driver's license photo using their police equipment that you use to, you know, run down suspects and stuff. And looking at it.
Is she hot?
She's pretty. Yeah, she's really pretty. She's just a super perky blonde. But, I mean, it's not a sexy photo at all. It's her driver's license photo.
You know? How does the story end?
Nope, not there yet. She sued him.
Huh? We're not there yet.
Oh.
So, yes, I'd mentioned that she had all these cops who were looking at her driver's license. It was viewed over 400 times, by the way, by various police officers. So she sued the police department. Now,
how does the story end?
All right. I'll cue you for that.
Oh, you'll let me know? Okay.
Yeah. So she sues them because they were looking at her photograph. By the way, this isn't private photographs. This isn't naked photographs. This isn't photographs that they illegally, I guess technically they illegally found it, but it was in a public database. It's
right.
Not like they went, they broke into her computer to try to find these
Yeah,
photos.
But I couldn't do it.
No, you couldn't.
They are using their special skills.
I'm not denying that they're using police equipment to view her driver's license photo. But again, let's remember it's her driver's license photo, okay?
Right.
It's not like they're masturbating to it, right?
Well, because 400 guys checked it out, they're doing something to
it. First of all, probably some of them were.
Yes.
But second of all, see, but first it, of all.
But even, all right.
How desperate are they to see a pretty
Lisa,
girl?
You don't know anything about guys.
Jeez.
But look.
But
if
a driver's license photo?
Guys, if this same photo were up online and the tagline said, wow, this police officer is really hot, or hey, this girl on this driver's license photo is awfully perky, or whatever it is, thousands of people would click on it just to see what it looked like. And I'm sure that's what it was, is hey, you have to check out Anne Marie's driver's license photo. She's cute.
Right.
I'm sure that's what it was. All right. Even if every one of them were masturbating to this driver's license photo, what's the damage to her? She's not there. She doesn't know about it. What's the damage to her?
Because it is a misuse of their power and abilities to start checking out each other's driver's licenses. No matter what, it's just not appropriate.
It's not appropriate, but what's the damage to her?
And
I don't
in
know.
Fact,
at 400, I get creeped out. Plus, that is my address on there, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, these are other police officers who
right?
have access to
and
your
none
address.
None of them are crazy.
Okay, so Lisa's making the prosecution's case here. Now that you've heard the prosecution's case and you've heard me say, what's the real damage to her?
How much?
That's your question, is the lawsuit.
How does the story end?
The lawsuit has been settled. Tell me how they ruled. What happens next in this story?
They either got nothing or a tremendous amount.
Because I think a couple hundred thousand would be way enough.
You think she deserves a couple of $100,000?
But I think that would make sure it doesn't happen again because it's BS.
So your verdict is guilty, Your Honor, and $200,000 to Miss Rasmussen.
Yeah, the lawyer gets $100.
All right, Kevin, what do you say?
I think it's way more. I hope it's zero, but I think it's way more. I think it's a ridiculous number, like $10 million.
So Kevin, you really don't think she deserves anything?
Well.
Based on what Lisa said about them abusing the privileges.
Not really.
And her address.
Not really, but.
And her weight.
But nothing.
Let's not forget her weight.
That may be what it is.
But if nothing happened to her, maybe the guy should be punished for abusing the power. But how much damage was done to her?
Saying, no one was stalking her as a result of it, or waiting out in front of her house, or asking her out, or anything like that.
To me,
the reason you're asking this question is because it has an interesting answer.
You fall into that trap sometimes. That's not always the case. This could be just exactly what you think it is.
She get five bucks.
I just think it's interesting.
$10 million
case went to court. So you say $10 million.
Yes.
Lisa says 200,000 mugs.
I think what Lisa said. Yeah, I think they ruled in favor of her, but they kind of charged her like whatever it is to renew your license, something really like $30 or something. I don't know.
All right, mugs says $30.
All right,
the correct answer is $1,057,000 in damages.
Wow. Nice get.
She got $392,000 approved by the Minneapolis City Council, $280,000 from a settlement reached with several other cities whose cops use the official database to look at the photo, $385,000 from the city of St. Paul, grand total $1,057,000 in damages.
That's absurd.
And that's because why? She was raped and beaten and left. That's right. Somebody looked at her driver's license photo.
But potentially now, everyone knows where she lives.
Right.
I mean, nothing happened, but that potential was there.
Okay, but
why didn't some cop just snap a picture of her and pass it around? They're stupid.
They're stupid. Should also be in the ruling.
I think it was it's a super perky driver's license photo. Like, you've never seen anyone look happier in the driver's license. I would send it to you guys, but I don't want to get sued.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, we don't have that kind of money.
No.
So that.
How does the story end?
That's how the story ends.
It was going to be too.
To be the end where you go, that's how the.
That, my friends, is how the story ends.
Wow.
That's a lot
still
of money.
Have it.
Okay.
You could look at my driver's license for.
Really?
Yeah, as many people
For like 50 grand. I'll let you look at mine.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amico, shall we?
I can't unhear it.
You won't want to. Berenice Marlowe.
Oh, yes.
The new Bond girl. Cover Maxim.
Yeah.
She will be here today.
There's that.
I don't think we have any questions. We're just going to sit here and stare at her. I hope that's not uncomfortable.
And by there's that, what do you mean exactly?
I hope that's not uncomfortable.
What is that?
There's that, meaning that's what's happening on today's show. We don't really need anything else.
Okay.
Right. We have Dr. Drew on the program today.
Excellent.
We are going to talk to actor Andre Brower, who is fantastic and is in the TV show The Last Resort.
Oh, he's great in everything. He's one of my all-time favorites.
We have Irony Singleton.
Nope.
We don't have Irony Singleton.
No, I'm sure we do, but that's not a name, right?
That's his name.
That can't be. Can't be Irony with a capital E instead of a Y at the end. Come on.
That's why they killed him off in The Walking Dead.
Shh.
Huh?
Spoiler alert.
It's been long enough. F people. Right? Who's with me? We're going to talk to Normal about the laws that were voted on.
Yeah, more states passed.
Washington, Colorado, even more than that.
Yeah.
Massachusetts went for medical this time around. Party at my house tonight at December 6th, by the way. That's when it goes into effect.
All right.
Bring your own.
Because you're not going to have any.
Smoke them if you got them.
John C. Reilly will be on the program today.
Oh, why is he so good?
Talking about Wreck-It Ralph. And
Step Brothers 2, by the way.
I want. Step Brothers was awesome. And we have your tickets for our breakfast with Mumford & Sons.
Yeah!
Excellent.
Which we're quickly running out of time for, as that is going to be Tuesday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show at 7 a.m. So we got those tickets coming up. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat.
We're going to find out what's going on with Normal. That's the, what is it, the National Organization for the
Marijuana Laws.
Reform of Marijuana Laws. That's it, yeah.
Law.
And and when we're getting some of that relief from the federal government getting off our butts here in California, we'll talk about that too. Coming up in a couple of minutes here.
And
on
up there in your Washington State.
Oh, everything goes up here, man.
And Colorado as well.
Everything goes.
It's a party at Bean's house, like you said earlier today. We're all going up there and we're all going to get stoned.
Plus your next singles party. Plus your Mumford & Sons tickets on the way too. First, though, 5:51. It's Thursday. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat.
Before I get into the beat, I do want to give all the ladies out there a heads up. We would like you to consider entering the Miss Double December 2013 contest.
Yeah!
It is that time of the year. We're looking for one special lady to represent the show for the entirety of 2013. Do you have what it takes? And by that, I mean, do you have big, big cans? And are you a nice person? That's really the only requirements.
And can you tolerate Kevin and Bean, by the way? That has to be part of it.
Well,
especially one of them.
Keep in mind, there's always a security guard between Bean and Miss Double December.
How
look at your boobs.
You.
There they are.
I urge you to look up any past Miss Double December and ask what their experience was like during their reign with me, and I think they will all say that I have been a delight.
Yes, verbatim. That's what they'll say. Go to krock.com right now. You got to be 21 years of age or older. Complete your application. Send in two photos of yourself, at least two.
Current.
And then we will be picking the finalist on Monday, November the 19th. So you have until the 16th to get your photos in. Then, of course, on November the 30th, we'll be having our big pageant that we do every year at the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fullerton. It's an amazing event. It's a good time. And if you win, you get to go to all the events that we go to, all the concerts, all those single parties, all the things that we do, the April Foolishness Comedy Show. It's a lot of fun. So consider it, won't you?
Boobies. I like boobies.
I like boobies, too.
Boobies.
All right, boobies. I think we have established boobies. Twilight, it's coming to an end. Can you feel it? Can you feel it in the air? Can you feel the sadness? Can you feel the... Can you feel how morose Kristen Stewart is right now?
She started that way.
More morose?
That's right. My bad. Yeah. The Twilight Saga, Breaking Dawn Part 2, is going to be in theaters everywhere Friday, November the 16th. However, it will be at the LA Live on Monday, November the 12th. Why? Red Carpet World Premiere. Cast and crew will be there, and so will you if you're one of my lucky callers. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. I'm going to give away one pair of passes. This is a hard ticket to get. So if you'd like to go to the Red Carpet World Premiere of Breaking Dawn Part 2, we'd love to have you go. It's opening on Friday, November the 16th in theaters everywhere. So let's say caller number 16 right now, 1-800-520-1067 for your Twilight tickets. Selena Gomez, girlfriend of Justin Bieber, says she is busy planning a big reunion show for the Wizards of Waverly Place. Thank God, because I loved that show all those years ago, and I've been wondering, whatever happened to the cast of Wizards of Waverly Place? I'd like to see that those characters get back together again to see how they've changed.
Which
after characters all these years.
Interested you the most,
I think,
Ralph?
Bilbo, mostly. Bilbo was my favorite. Clankston, of course, he was the funny janitor. Clankston, the funny janitor, was always one of my favorites.
I'm not sure that's the right guy, but
Parkerton, the detective who used to solve all the crimes.
Parkerton was very sharp.
Yes. I don't know anything about this show, but I believe it's been off the air for about 8 minutes, so I don't know why.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think it just ended this year, I think.
So their big reunion show might be a little premature, but it's happening. And Justin Bieber, her boyfriend, I don't know if they're going out or not, but they are. He has volunteered to appear in the show. He'll say he'll play any role. But Selena Gomez says no.
Well,
good for her.
She said his superstar power would detract from the project. And you don't want people detracting from the power of the Wizards of Waverly Place.
That's
for you.
True. Yeah, let's keep that pure.
That's right.
It would detract from her is who it would detract from.
Yeah, what about me? Everybody has to look at me. So, there you go. This is Emma Watson. She's a good deal.
Yep. Oh, she's the best.
Hermione, of course, from the Harry Potter films. She is currently filming Noah with Russell Crowe in New York State. However, Superstorm Sandy shut down that production. Isn't that funny that they had a giant arc and the production got shut down because of a flood?
It's a bit ironic.
Yeah. So she's been having a lot of free time on her hands. And so Emma Watson, being Emma Watson, has decided to put her time to good use. I guess some Hollywood starlets, Lindsay Lohan, would go off and, you know,
party.
Do rails a blow and crash into 18-wheelers.
Allegedly.
Emma Watson has been volunteering with the city's Meal on Wheels program, delivering food to seniors that can't leave their homes.
How about that?
That's what Emma Watson does. That's her right there in a handbasket. How about that?
Wow.
She's a good deal.
No kidding.
Lindsay Lohan
is also in the news. On the other side of that coin.
Not good deal.
Yeah.
She's still very, very concerned, say friends and co-workers, that the Santa Monica city attorney looks like they're going to slap charges of lying to the police on her.
But what about
boobs? She's got them.
Okay.
Multiple witnesses saw Lindsay behind the wheel of her Porsche last June when she crashed into that 18-wheeler. She told authorities she wasn't driving. And now Lindsay is saying she thinks the police are simply out to get her.
She's always thought that.
Oh, yeah, that's the case.
Yeah.
You know what? When you crash into an 18-wheeler and then you lie to the police and say you weren't behind the wheel, and then they get upset, that's not the police looking to get you.
Yeah. What takes them so long, though? That happened in June?
Yeah.
Jeez.
You guys ever done that? Switch seats with the driver?
No.
I never have.
I did with my brother one time.
Really?
Yeah, my older brother.
Why?
Because he had a lot of tickets and we were going 120 or something. He's like, you got to take my seat.
Oh, so you took the bullet.
So
I'm surprised.
And what happened to you as a result of that?
No, I just got a big ticket, but he paid it, you know, for me.
Because he didn't want to carry the weight of all those points on his insurance or something like that?
Wow.
You were probably in the seat going, faster, faster.
Yeah, that's it. That's probably why he got the ticket, was you reaching across and pressing down on his foot on the accelerator. Wow, Kevin, that was very...
Yeah.
Giving of you.
Well, you would do that for a brother.
But every story you have usually involves
me being an a-hole,
screwing somebody over and getting out of something.
How dare you?
But here you actually took the bullet for somebody.
A woman one time asked me on a plane to switch seats, and she was pregnant. And I said no.
Did you do that?
I said no. What?
What a dick you are. You should give somebody a kidney to make up for that. And while we're talking about Superstore Sandy... Jerry Seinfeld doing a nice thing. He is donating all of the money from his three upcoming New York area stand-up performances with Colin Quinn to the relief effort. They have a sold-out show on Long Island, sold-out shows in Brooklyn, Staten Island, and Manhattan as well. All of those, three of those upcoming shows, all the proceeds will be donated to the relief effort.
I wonder what that adds up to.
Do they still need it after the...
He's playing big venues, and they're sold-out shows, so I can imagine it's a lot of money.
Are they still going to need it after the Jersey Shore fundraiser?
Probably not. They'll probably raise all the money they want with Restore the Shore. Can't wait to get my eyes on that.
Did you guys see it's snowing, like a blizzard snowing, at 20 in New York right now?
Yeah, that's just what they need.
Oh, my God.
They are getting just kicked in the balls. They're like James Bond in Casino Royale, just getting that rope right to the nads.
Yep.
Over and over.
Yeah.
That's rough.
What were you going to say, B?
Not a thing.
Good.
See?
Good,
I'm learning.
Good.
I don't buy that for a minute.
Roll.
Keep moving.
He's self-edited. Let's give him credit and move on.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Remember Mary Hart from Entertainment Tonight?
Sure.
The original entertainment news gal.
Yep.
62 years old
today. I think she was a robot.
I always liked her. She was obviously...
robotic.
Not robotic. I thought she was...
robot-like.
A little saccharine, sweet.
Happy.
Yeah, I mean, she was sort of...
Too happy all the time.
That was the TV commentator, announcer of the era. I mean, that's who they were. And I thought she did a good job.
And she was, all of them are beauty pageants. She was a Miss South Dakota, I want to say, Ralph. Does that sound right to you?
Something like that. Yeah, one of the Dakotas. Gordon Ramsay, TV chef. Stop it, you donkey! 68 years old today. Courtney Thorne Smith from Melrose Place, and according to Jim, is 45 years old. That's a pretty strong 45, if you ask me. Parker Posey turns 44. Gretchen Mol from Boardwalk Empire. Come on now. You ever see her movie about Betty Page, the pinup?
Yes.
Betty Page? I don't
think so.
Great
yes.
film she's good in. 40 years old. Tara Reid from the American
Pie
movies.
Nope. How about a ruling?
No.
How about a
ruling? No.
Nope.
37 years old today. Daniel Ramirez from Heroes and Entourage is 33. Bell, please. Thank you. Azura Sky from CSI Miami. She is 31 years old today. Jack Osborne celebrates his 27th birthday. And Jessica Lowndes from 90210 is 24 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Oh, what an hour we've got for you next hour. Between 7 and 8 o'clock, Andre Brower is going to be on with us. Actor John C. Reilly is going to be on with us. And your tickets to our exclusive VIP breakfast with Mumford & Sons and tickets to go see him at the Hollywood Bowl. We are fast running out of time for that because the breakfast is going to be Tuesday morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's all coming up here at the world-famous K-Rock.
First, we're going to talk to Alan St. Pierre of Normal. We've had him on many different times talking about the marijuana laws in the United States. Good morning, Alan.
Good day.
Welcome back, sir. How have you been? Thanks so much for the visit last time you were in L.A. We really enjoyed having you in the studio, man.
Well, thanks for the invite. It was a great pleasure to visit The Rock.
Tell me how many states in the election just passed on Tuesday had ballots or initiatives that had to do with marijuana.
There were six statewide ones. Three of them passed, two for legalization, one for medical marijuana.
Okay, so that's Colorado and Washington for the legalization, and Massachusetts is the one who stepped up for medical marijuana, right?
That is correct.
It does seem like, slowly, and I remember we talked to you a lot about this when you were in, slowly the tide is starting to change. Public opinion seems to be heading in your direction.
Well, there's no better indication than the vote, and the vote was very clear in both Colorado and Washington state. They both passed at the same percentage. So that those models, which were slightly different, which a lot was learned from California's loss by only 3 points 2 years ago. So in some ways, California was quite an expensive trial run. But the lessons were learned and applied in both Colorado and Washington to positive effect.
And Colorado and Washington both okayed it for recreational use, not just medical marijuana, right?
That's right. I mean, the next time I'm out in those states and I'm trout fishing, if I don't have a license, that'll be the only law I'm breaking.
Ah, nice.
But what is it going to take still for the federal government to actually tip?
Well, some leadership surely would be very helpful from the executive branch, particularly the Chum Gang leader who got reelected the other night. So it'd be nice to see if he could fulfill the promise of the Chum Gang and actually...
What does that mean?
I'm sorry, I don't know what that means.
Oh, well, when Mr. Obama was a young man in Hawaii, he was the head of a group of young men who smoked a lot of marijuana and called themselves the Chum Gang, and he writes about and talks about total absorption with marijuana. I mean, this is our president.
Hey, I'm fine with that.
And he was accused by others in the gang of being the guy who bogarted the joint, too, right? Like, he took a little bit more than his share, if I recall correctly.
Exactly. So all these years later, he's now never going to run again for elected office. So we're in a window where if he's going to do something, to answer your question seriously, is that if he does nothing, meaning let Washington and Colorado move in this direction, that would be enough leadership for me to do nothing.
I agree, but the federal laws still make it illegal, right?
It does, but, you know, as you well know, in California and Washington and all the rest of the Western United States, medical marijuana, too, is technically illegal. So we've now moved from the federal government raiding 400 or 500 dispensaries a year. Okay, are they now going to try to raid 400 or 500 retail outlets? I think the tide has definitely turned here. The free market being what it is, we're going to see this move forward one way or the other. And yes, I'm sure the federal government will probably provide some pushback, but it passes prologue going back to when Californians voted for medical marijuana in 1996.
Yeah, that paid off for us.
you sound surprisingly optimistic today, Alan, which is encouraging. Didn't some of the states go to the Attorney General Eric Holder after the election, and he basically had no comment at this time? I mean, it sounds like if they have a plan, they haven't really announced what it's going to be federally going forward, right?
Exactly. And I guess why I'm buoyant is that, well, in the 20-plus years I've been at Normal, the federal government, the Drug Czar's office, the Attorney General, the head of the DEA, they've taken every opportunity to use their bully pulpit to propagandize against these things in advance. And here they are after the election, and they have no comment. So, again, maybe the Fed's just sitting on their thumbs could be an indication of a new direction.
There was a time near the beginning of Obama's administration, the first time, where he said something about that we're not going to aggressively, you know, prosecute medical marijuana, and then that all changed. But do you think we'll get back to at least that point?
That would be fine as kind, and again, with a situation where he and very likely Mr. Holder are not going to be in public office again anytime soon, it's a great opportunity to recognize 18 states now have medical marijuana, 14 states have decriminalized it. 2 have legalized it. In 2014, you can just well imagine we're gearing up for other legalization ballots. And from my point of view, strategically, California has always been the big enchilada. 1 out of 8 Americans live there. We want to reform the laws there. If they happen there, then the rest of the country will infill, not soon after. I'll just remind some, Kansas, Utah, others, they didn't reform their alcohol laws until 25 to 30 years after the rest of the country did it.
Wow.
Yeah, but they want weed, so it'll be, be very different.
Hey, Iowa was out on front on gay marriage, though, so it's almost impossible to predict what states are going to do what these days, outside of the South. Those are easy to predict. Alan St. Pierre is our guest on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's the executive director of Normal and the Normal Foundation on Twitter, @Normal, and that's without an A, by the way, N-O-R-M-L, and the website is normal.com. Hey, real quick, just before you go, Alan, just to give a little bit of equal time to people who may disagree with every word that's come out of your mouth, in all these states that have the medical marijuana made legal, has there been any downside, any of the fears that some thought might happen once you made it so readily available to people?
Well, the government, both state and federal government, since 1996, with now, again, all these states moving in this direction, they've done all those longitudinal studies. You know, do children use it more? Do they have more lax attitudes? Are there higher addiction rates, quote-unquote? Are there people getting in more accidents? All of those things that have been looked at, no, there is no really strong demographic information that demonstrates that if you go from prohibition to legalization, that these sort of myths and fears come forward. Still acknowledging marijuana is a drug and it needs to be treated as such.
You all right?
You okay? You need some help?
Siri's trying to tell me something.
Thought your boat just came in. All right, Alan. Great. Well, we know you got a busy day out there, a busy week for you. Congratulations on your successes and the great work that you do. And we always appreciate you making time to join us on the Kevin and Bean Show, sir.
Best of you. Take care.
Bye. Dude, it sounds like your speaker's blowing there on that track.
Yep. Sorry.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 25 minutes after 6.
Irony Singleton. I didn't know the name either, but I sure know the actor. He plays T-Dog on The Walking Dead. Spoiler alert, played T-Dog on The Walking Dead. We'll talk to him coming up in about 10 minutes.
Hey, way to give people enough time after the spoiler alert.
Lisa, you weren't with us yesterday.
You're right.
But please tell me that you were paying attention on election night to Donald Trump's total meltdown
after
the results of the elections.
The best thing ever.
He's so great.
He made it so much more fun.
He's such an idiot. Even the people on the right are going, he is not with us.
Don't speak for us.
Right,
yes.
We do not want Donald Trump.
Well, he's been doing nothing but, pricking President Obama for his whole, 4 years, but especially lately with the $5 million challenge and calling him out, as being a birther and the whole deal. I mean, he hates the guy, and it was killing him that he was being reelected.
Here are some of Donald Trump's tweets. He lost the popular vote by a lot and won the election. We should have a revolution in this country.
That's awesome.
What does he mean? Exactly what is Donald Trump
march on Washington?
Is he going to pick up a gun?
Well, that was early in the night when Mr. Romney was leading in the popular vote. It ended up that President Obama won the popular vote as well. But look, even if the president had lost the popular vote, we have the Electoral College system. I mean, that's how it works. That's how it worked 12 years ago, too.
Donald Trump says, we can't let this happen. We should march on Washington and stop this travesty. Our nation is totally divided.
All right, Donald, you go. We'll meet you there.
Then Donald says, let's fight like hell and stop this great and disgusting injustice. The world is laughing at us. No, Donald, the world's laughing at you.
Yes, exactly.
Well, it got to the point, and I love this piece of tape that I'm going to play for you. Brian Williams, who was anchoring the coverage on NBC election night, he's the anchor of the NBC Nightly News. It looks to me like, as I watched him, he didn't want to talk about this. This was not on his radar, but it sounds like his people put him up to it. But here's what he had to say on TV on Tuesday night.
As we are to pass this along, it nonetheless is, as they say, out there and getting an airing tonight, so you might as well know about it. Donald Trump, who has driven well past the last exit to relevance and...
Zing! By the way... Zing!
Veered into something closer to irresponsible here, is tweeting tonight. Here's a sampling. More votes equals a loss. Revolution. This election is a total sham and a travesty. We are not a democracy. disgusting injustice. The world is laughing at us, and so on. So there you have that.
So there you have that. That happened. All right, give me the big music. Let's bring on Donald Trump himself and find out what he has to say. I'm sure he's not going to let this one lie. Donald, welcome back to the Kevin DeBean Show, my friend. How are you?
How can you just say good morning when we are living in a socialist republic?
Well, nope. It's not really socialist. I mean, maybe it's more left than you would like, but, you know.
Look, we have a system.
Revolution!
We have a system where we vote, and then the Electoral College numbers come through, and you get enough, you become president. It would have been the same case for Mr. Romney as it was for Mr. Obama. It just didn't fall your way.
The Electoral College is a disaster for democracy.
I agree, by
listen,
the way.
I think the Electoral College is stupid, too.
More
but,
votes equal a loss revolution!
Now, what exactly do you mean by the word revolution?
I think that all of the poor people should be rounded up and forced to fight for the rich people against Washington. Let's go, poor people!
Okay. Fight how? With guns? With weapons? How?
With bare-knuckle fisticuffs.
Okay.
Everybody gets in a big ring.
Okay. How does that help America if the poor people get into a ring and start beating up the rich people? How does that help us?
This election is a total sham, a travesty, and America is laughing at us, and the world is laughing at us, and we're laughing at some of America and parts of Europe. We're laughing at parts of Asia. It's a nightmare.
Is it true that you have driven past the last exit of relevance?
No, I haven't even gotten there yet. My road sign says 8 miles to relevance, so I still have plenty of time to change lanes.
Let's talk about some of the tweets you put up on Tuesday morning after Brian Williams said what he said about you on TV. Brian, if I'm well past the last exit to relevance, how come you spent so much time reading my tweets last night?
And boom. Then
Brian Williams was never a smart guy, but always passes himself off as such. People will learn the truth.
That's right. They'll learn that Brian Williams has a hot, hot daughter.
Yes, oh, does he? He actually does. She's
you know
that
me,
one of the stars
I love
of
a hot daughter.
You do.
Yeah, she's on that girl show, Kevin. You got to check out Allison Williams. Brian, thanks, dummy. I picked up 70,000 Twitter followers yesterday alone. Cable
Boom.
News just passed you in the ratings.
Boom!
Look, aren't you...
NBC about... should be embarrassed.
NBC should be embarrassed.
Should be embarrassed for putting that dummy, Brian Williams, on their news coverage. He's a
you
dummy
know...
at NBC... is a travesty and a sham.
Okay, but you're on NBC. Shouldn't they be more embarrassed about what
Shows
you...
Shows you how bold I am, how brave I am. NBC has denied America the voice they need to talk about democracy.
Donald, oh, no. It seems like every single time... It seems like every single time there's an election, there is a group that loses, and those people just have to lick their wounds and come back next 4 years.
But as of right now, NBC has made America... the biggest loser.
Okay, geez. Look, shameless promotion is not going to stop people from laughing at you. You're an embarrassment. You need to just back off. Go be a millionaire and be happy with your hot wife.
I'm concerned for the American community.
Yeah, I know.
The future looks grim.
Okay.
We've got All Obama right. in the office, and he doesn't
all right.
belong there.
Okay, Donald,
soon,
listen.
Parks and Recreation will be getting all of our tax dollars.
Seriously.
I was up all night after the election, worried about how this country was going to fare.
How can we take you seriously when this is what you do,
we
Donald?
We need a revolution.
Oh, see what he did there? Yeah. Now it all makes sense.
America has got talent not. All right, that doesn't work out.
Nope.
The new normal is crap.
Okay.
I mean the show as well as
it
the
is
country.
Bad. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that we should smash Washington.
Okay. Listen, we got to go.
We go on.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Trump.
Four right. more years of
so
Obama
long.
In the White House. Oh, I don't feel so good.
No. 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 Not again.
You can't. Why are you doing this?
I was just about to say I was so happy. At least he didn't throw up.
Obama makes me sick.
When Kevin is still tweeting at midnight, I know something's going on. Where were you? What was the deal?
Well, I had to watch the Galaxy game because they're in the playoffs, and if they lose the game, they're out. And
this was an away game or home game?
Oh, an away game in San Jose. Right. And it didn't start till 8:30-ish. So then it just went on forever, but I had to watch because destroyed. Playing again on Sunday in the Western Conference Championship.
What was the score?
3-1.
Two of those goals came from Robbie Keane, who we just talked to last week.
Okay.
I hope that somebody will make a note of that, that when you accuse us of the Kevin Bean curse, by the way.
Nope.
We just had him on,
right,
and he ended up helping the Galaxy win, right?
Two of the three goals.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Power of Kevin Bean. I think that's the way it should read, is the power of Kevin Bean, not the curse of Kevin Bean. All right. You're listening to The Kevin Bean Show. It is, as we mentioned, a very exciting Thursday show with Andre Brower coming up and John C. Reilly, your Mumford & Sons tickets, Dr. Drew on the program today. So much more. First, though, give me that Walking Dead music. Let's talk about The Walking Dead for a second. And yes, this is going to be a spoiler alert for you if you've not yet seen last Sunday night's episode. I hope by now, if you love The Walking Dead, it's almost impossible to imagine it would be Thursday and you haven't made time to see it yet, because that show, I mean, you can't sit on that show, right?
Agreed. Everyone dies. Sorry.
We're in, except for Carl, who's going to be the last man standing. And then Kevin is going to march on Atlanta and take care of that little effer himself. Is it possible, am I wrong, Kevin, when I say, as great as The Walking Dead has been since episode one, this past Sunday night's might have been the best ever episode?
Yes.
I mean, correct. You look at it and you go, how does it get better? What's the deal with this show where they can get better after all we've already seen? But it was just unbelievably beautifully done and intense and heartfelt and dramatic. And there were changes and things we never could have seen coming. And one of the reasons that episode was so great is actor Iron E. Singleton, who joins us on The Kevin Bean Show. He plays T-Dog on The Walking Dead. Mr. Singleton, welcome, sir. How are you?
Kevin and Bean, I'm fine. How are you guys? So good to talk to you. Thanks for having me.
We are good. Oh,
my God, it's our pleasure. Tell me what it's like as an actor when you get a job on a zombie show before anybody knows what it is. Were people making fun of you before they saw it?
It's like, no, not quite. It was like, wow, I'm about to work. I'm able to pay the bills.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
So I have a job, yes.
And then what was it like when you realized, hey, a lot of people are watching?
And then I just go into, I guess I start reflecting, and I start becoming more and more grateful. And like, this is so incredible. How did this happen?
No, it is amazing. And for folks who, and we say this all the time, we've loved this show since minute one, Irony, and we've always talked about it. And we say, look, if people say I'm not going to try it because it's about zombies, then you're a fool, first of all, because you don't know what you're missing. It is currently the number one entertainment show on television, 18 to 49-year-old viewers. I mean, there's nothing bigger in TV right now, and it deserves it.
Nothing bigger. And that alone right there should encourage people to go out and just check it out. Give it a chance. Give it a try. If you watch one episode, I'm almost positive that they're going to get hooked. You guys are going to be hooked if you just check out one episode. And it's not just about zombies. It's about the relationship between the human beings, all that drama that exists between them. That's the stuff that pulls you in.
And yes,
the zombies, that's like the icing on the cake.
And your storyline really is going to go places, huh?
Yeah, I think so. I'm really optimistic about that.
This is a show that is not afraid to kill off main characters.
Oh, but God, that's got to suck that you are so grateful to be on a hit show, and yet you know every week you could be gone.
Yes, literally sucked, because you saw what those zombies did to my character, right?
Yeah. Oh, my God, your throat.
They were not happy with you.
How do they tell you, like in T-Dog's case, how do you find out the news? Is it just they send you the script like they do every week and you find out while reading it, or do they call you in for a meeting first?
Oh, no. They're more thoughtful than that. They wouldn't do that. We get the death call.
The death call?
The death call.
Wow, Will that Mazzara. Sounds bad.
He's like, you know, we've basically termed him as, he's like, we've coined him the angel of death.
Okay.
So he called me, and he didn't tell me what the phone call related to, what he needed to talk to me about, and we started playing phone tag. We called each other three times each, I would say, and I said, oh, this can't be good because he's not telling me what's going on. And we finally caught up with each other, and he said, well, you know, we've enjoyed you on the show. You know what that means, right?
How far
I knew it was coming.
How far before that episode aired did you know?
I knew maybe, probably during when we were filming episode one, so probably a month in advance.
All right. Oh, wow. What's it like as an actor to get to do something you had never done on the show before, and that's to get bitten by zombies?
Oh, it was lovely. It felt so good.
It didn't look lovely.
I was eating lunch and it was a bad idea.
It ruined your appetite.
It really did, yeah.
Yeah, it tends to do that show. It was a different experience, but, you know, I was just, I was excited to do it, you know, and to have a zombie to jump on my back and bite this big plug out of my neck, it was different.
When can you tell us this? When is effing Carl going to die? When's he going to eat a bullet?
No!
Oh, come on!
Nobody wants Carl to die.
I want Carl to die!
No.
He needs to die!
He has to grow up and become the leader of the group.
He shot his own mom without even checking her vitals. Come on!
Hey, you don't know, man. That was off camera. You don't know.
Come on!
Exactly. That's what I was about to say. He's evolving, though. He's evolving.
I want him to evolve right into the ground.
No.
Oh, man.
No, I love Carl.
Oh, me too, but I love to hate him.
What's next for you, Iron E. Singleton, now that everybody knows your name and everybody knows what a great actor you are? What are you going to be doing after this?
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. That means so much, hearing that. I am working on a project called Sworn to Silence with Nev Campbell. That's coming out in January on the Lifetime Network.
Great.
Yes. So I play a cop, small-town cop, who used to be an Army Ranger, and he's on the hunt for a serial killer along with Nev Campbell's character. I have a project called A Box for Rob, where I play a special agent, Tim Berry. I'm working on my autobiography, which is being self-published in February, and being co-written by Juliet Terzieff of the Zombie Survival Crew.
Wow.
So I'm searching for names, too, guys. So if you can think of a name for the book, it's indicative of my life story going from, you know, the poverty to the Blind Side and the Walking Dead.
Okay.
And I have my song, the Walking Dead song.
You have your Walking Dead song?
Yes.
Is this something you wrote and sang?
I was not aware of this.
It's like hip-hop rock type song. And,
is there nothing this man can't do? Okay. What's the website, Irony?
It's on your website. What is it?
It's ironysingleton.com. ironysingleton.com.
All right.
Well, we're going to miss T-Dog, that's for sure. Walking Dead airs Sunday nights at 9 on AMC. Everybody should be checking it out, and we will definitely be looking forward to what's next with you, Mr. Singleton. Thanks so much for coming on.
Wow. Thank you so much for having me. I love you guys. Much continued success. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Oscar and Grammy nominated actor, singer John C. Reilly joins us after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. He's Ralph in Wreck-It Ralph, don't you know?
How dare you, sir?
What do you mean, how dare you?
I'm Ralph. There's only one Ralph on this show, god damn it.
And it's John C. Reilly.
Might be him now, I gotta tell you. First, though, the other Ralph, the lesser Ralph, as we call him, the showbiz beat.
Next time I see Bean, you're gonna see Wreck-It Ralph, the sequel. I'll punch him right in the kidney. Hey, before I get to showbiz news, do want to give all the ladies out there a heads up that we are once again kicking off our Miss Double December pageant. This time, we're looking for Miss Double December 2013. You will spend the entire year with us at all the singles parties, at Acoustic Christmas, the Winnie Roast, at April Foolishness. Everything that we do, you will do. You'll be the spokeswoman for the Kevin and Bean Show. And here's how you enter. KRock.com. Go there. Fill out the application. Send two photos of yourself, at least. Got to be 21 years of age or older, because usually there's booze involved in all of our events. And then we're going to take applications all the way through the 16th, Friday the 16th of November. On the 19th, we'll announce the top 10 finalists. Then you, the K-Rock listener, will get to vote for your favorites. And we will crown Miss Double December at the pageant on Friday, November the 30th. That's not a euphemism.
Oh, sorry.
On Friday, November the 30th at the Slide Bar, Rock and Roll Kitchen in Fullerton, as we do every year. Once again, all the proceeds will be getting unwrapped toys. All the proceeds of those will be going to Toys for Tatas. We'll do the Toys with Tots with the Marines every year, and it's going to be a blast. So,
not that much time, by the way. Enter by a week from tomorrow.
That's why we're trying to get the word out there so people can enter out, because it's, like you said, only about 7 or 8 days.
Big juicy melons.
All right, let's talk about showbiz news. This makes me sad.
What?
It just seems to be a running theme with a lot of actors. Once they get the role of a lifetime, they already start complaining and want out of it. Daniel Craig says he's sick of being James Bond.
Well,
he wants out of playing James Bond, but he feels trapped. He tells Rolling Stone magazine that he was trying to get out of the 007 franchise even before Skyfall started filming. I've been trying to get out of this from the very moment I got into it, he tells Rolling Stone, but they won't let me go. And I've agreed to do a couple more, but let's see how this one does, because business is business, and if S goes south, I've got a contract that somebody will happily wipe their ass with.
What? So he's still down for a couple of more, but he wants out, and he wanted out a long time ago?
He wanted out after the second one. But he's contractually obligated at least to do the third, and apparently maybe they signed him for five.
Yeah, this is the third, right?
This one here. This is the third he's done. Yeah, this is. Yeah.
So he knew before he accepted the 007 role that this is the kind of role that this is exactly what happens, is that you're James Bond. You're bigger than anything else you're ever going to do in your career. He knew that before he signed up.
There were five or six other guys who had done this before him. He could have looked at history and said, oh, these guys get pretty much pigeonholed with this character.
And how is it a bad thing to be looked at that way?
It's not at all. I get the sense Daniel Craig is just a moody bastard.
Really?
He seems like it. Now, the upside is, at all the premieres, he's been talking to press saying how much he loves this film and how much he's enjoying this experience and stuff. So maybe this interview obviously took place earlier in the year. Maybe he's feeling differently about things. And it doesn't really matter. We'll get two more with him, and he makes a great Bond. But I just wish guys like this would just appreciate their good fortune, and even if you don't want it, then shut the hell up.
Asshole.
He's not that. It's not exactly that bad. But even if you don't want to be Bond, and you know you're doing two more anyway, then just shut up. So those of us who enjoy the franchise can fool ourselves into believing you're having a great time being James Bond, because we would all like to be James Bond.
Right.
So just let that go.
So it's not your favorite 3 months of the year. So what?
Yeah, right. You know what Bond gets you? You're able to make Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, and you can make small independent films, and you can buy yourself a lot of leverage in your career to do whatever you like, because every couple of years you do one of these Bond movies.
Yeah, I think he'll live.
But Connery was the same way. Connery started bitching about the franchise long before he left and stuff. It just leaves a sour taste in my mouth.
Yeah, I hear you.
Kirstie Alley is promoting her new memoir, The Art of Men, talking about all the guys she banged and the ones that got away.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. No. She said two of her biggest love affairs with two of her co-stars, John Travolta and Patrick Swayze.
Nine!
One of them is gay, the other one's dead. I'll let you figure out which is which. And here's the thing. She said while she was filming Look Who's Talking with John Travolta, they had undeniable sexual chemistry, but they were both married at the time, so they could never consummate their passion for each other.
Please.
Now, here's the thing. Kirstie finally sets the record straight about John Travolta. She says, I know John with all my heart and soul. He's not gay. So there we have it. We have the final word.
Oh, great.
And I believe her, because it's not like she and Travolta are both part of some secretive religion together.
They're both Scientologists.
What?
Yeah, they're both in the Church of Scientology.
But that would give her an excellent reason to lie on behalf of her co-Scientologist.
Yeah. Allegedly, sure.
Come on. Really?
No way. No way. Get real.
In this book, she said she did a miniseries, North and South, with Patrick Swayze, and they fell head over heels in love with each other, and he wanted to leave his wife for her.
No!
But it didn't happen. He decided to stay with his wife. The man has passed away. Why do you want to take a widow's feelings like that and throw them under the bus? And I get the sense it's probably not even true. She seems delusional on many levels.
Yep.
And why would you do that to someone who is still dealing with the memory of losing someone so early in their
life? Yeah, that's uncool.
That is way uncool. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jessica Lowndes from 90210. She's 24 years old today. Jack Osborne turns 27. Azura Sky. Sounds like a character out of Avatar.
Yes, it does.
She is 31 years old today. Daniel Ramirez from Heroes and Entourage is 33. Tara Reid from the American Pie films is 37. Gretchen Mol from Boardwalk Empire, and the notorious Betty Page, 40 years old. Parker Posey is 44. Courtney Thorne-Smith is 45. Wow. A lot of hotties. Gordon Ramsay.
Speaking of hotties.
Gordon Ramsay's hot. The worst risotto I've ever tasted. 46 years old today. Leif Garrett, former heartthrob, current addict, 51 years old today. And TV host Mary Hart, who used to be the heart and soul of Entertainment Tonight. See what I did there?
Heart and soul. Thank you. Put her name in it.
She's 62 years old today. You had a way of taking that and making it sort of.
How do you do it?
Dumb. Matter of fact, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
How about that band right there in a tiny little location with you listening to them play live and helping us interview the band? How about Breakfast with Mumford & Sons, VIP? It's going to air Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. If you want to be in the audience for it, you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. Toll-free Mumford fans, 1-800-520-1067. And oh, wait, we're also going to throw in tickets to one of their sold-out Hollywood Bowl shows, too. So you get to see them big place
also get to see him in Little Place.
You are going to have to earn it with a game.
Okay.
Call now, 1-800-520-1067, and we will do that right after we talk to John C. Reilly. We're waiting on him to call.
He's the best, by the way. This, let me tell you something about this John C. Reilly. Let me tell you why he's the actor's actor. Because he does the crazy, incredible, dramatic stuff like Gangs of New York or The Hours. Then he's one of the great comedy actors of all time with things like Talladega Nights and Step Brothers. And now he goes and he's a superstar of animation. Now he's got this Wreck-It Ralph, which is the biggest movie in America right now.
Yes, he does. It'd be cool if we could ask him about it.
Why is nobody impressed with John C. Reilly the way I am?
Well, I know, we're impressed. Totally are. I love everything that he's in. He's
the Walk
excellent.
Hard guy. What's funnier than Walk Hard? One of those movies you have to watch every single time it's on TV.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people saw that one, Walk Hard.
Oh my God.
That's a great movie.
Yeah. Anyone who loves rock and roll has to see Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story. And by the way, I hear that it has become a cult movie, like a Spinal Tap type movie for musicians. All musicians love that movie and have it on the bus with them. You know what I mean? Because it's just so crazy.
You do not want any part of this.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Seriously. Get out of the business. So John C. Reilly right now, and then we'll give away Mumford & Sons tickets. And this might be an outstanding time, by the way, to mention, since we don't have them yet, is if you want to talk to the beautiful Nicole Alvarez, and why wouldn't you? You can call right now this number, 818-827-5123. 818-827-5123.
That's our new phone sex line?
No, as a matter of fact, This is something that K-Rock and CBS Television are doing, teaming up to raise money for the Red Cross to help those still in need from the damage from Hurricane Sandy. All day today, from now until 10 p.m., those phones are going to be manned. You can join in the CBS LA Hurricane Fund. If you missed that number, 818-827-5123, and that is going to be until 10 o'clock tonight. You can go to krock.com for all the details. And by the way, tons of other people from KROQ are going to be answering the phones throughout the day, including our own Ralph Garman. So that's all at krock.com. Help raise some money for Hurricane Sandy. All right, do we have Mr. Reilly?
We do.
John! Good morning. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you so much.
You know,
how are you
right
guys
before,
doing?
We're doing good. Great. It's always great to have you on. We were just talking about Hurricane Sandy, which I know is near and dear to your heart. Your heart has been with those people. I've seen you mention that on a few interviews this past week.
Yeah, anyone who's not made of stone cares about what's happening on the East Coast. I mean, so many people affected.
I want to know if it's true that I didn't see this the show, but when you were on with Chelsea Handler the other day, did she in fact say she would donate $100,000 to the Red Cross if you would shut up about it?
Not only did she say that, she did it.
Really?
Whoa! Yeah. She donated $100,000 in my name. It was ridiculous.
Wow!
You know, it was just this funny thing that happened. But you know, she's from the East Coast. She's from New Jersey, and I think she was feeling like
That's awesome. That's the best kind of donation, is it's in your name, yet you didn't have to pay it.
Yeah,
well done.
Exactly. I'm off the hook now. I don't have to give anything myself. No,
well done. All right. Well, we got a lot of questions because we never have enough time with you, but let's start with Wreck-It Ralph, which is the number one movie in America. I think a lot of people, especially those without little kids, were shocked to see the thing made only almost $50 million at the box office over the weekend. You knew before it came out, though, that this one was magic, right?
Well, we knew we really loved it ourselves, the people who made it, and that we put a lot of heart into it, and we're hoping it was going to connect. And it turns out it did. Like, the crazy thing is you know, these movies usually really rely heavily on kids wanting to see it,
right?
But according to like the statistics or whatever that people sent me, like, it's doing really well with all age groups, like. A lot of different types of people are finding.
Well, you know, part of that might be because the video games that you're talking about are old school video games.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily the new Call of Duty.
There's a little bit of that in there, too. Definitely. There's like, you know, Q-Bert makes an appearance.
Right. Thank God. Finally, the Q-Bert revival we've all been waiting for.
The long wait is over.
Tell me about doing animation. I mean, on the surface, from an outsider, it seems like the greatest gig in the world because you go in there, you don't have to memorize your lines. There's no makeup. You do it. You do it in a short amount of time. It lasts forever. Is it the actor's dream gig?
Full costume and makeup every time I went.
Wow, seems extra.
I insisted on that.
All right. Is it? Did you find it difficult to do and not just sound like John C. Reilly talking?
Well, the temptation when you're doing animation is to do some kind of crazy voice, you know, and I kind of decided very early on that my thing was going to be to try to be as honest and as emotionally true as I could with the character, and if that meant sounding like myself, then so be it. But, you know, when you're improvising especially, so much of the stuff is just coming out of your stream of consciousness that it ends up, you know, you end up putting some kind of personal stuff in there in some way anyway. So, yeah, I didn't worry too much about sounding like any one particular thing. I just wanted it to sound true, you know?
Right. How much of this was made up, and how much did you have to go right off the script?
47%.
47.
Careful, that's a dangerous number these
that
days.
That number's on my mind for some reason. 47%. I don't know why, but
I don't either. What could that ever mean?
I don't know. We would go in and like riff stuff. I mean, I gave them like hundreds of hours of dialogue over the 2 years that I was recording it. So I actually, at this point, it's all kind of morphed into one thing. Like the script,
wow,
the
2 years.
It's all.
It sounds like they could do like two more sequels with what you already gave them.
Yeah, maybe they would. Then I can just collect a paycheck and not actually have to go to work. That'd be fun.
This is the voice of actor John C. Reilly here on the Kevin Amin Show. He is Ralph in Wreck It Ralph. Have you had any encounters with little kids, like in the supermarket, who recognize your voice yet?
Yeah, that just happened to me. Like, this kid's like, I'm standing there, like, talking to the cashier or something. He's like, tugs on my jacket, like, "You're Wreck It Ralph." And looking at his face, like, you could tell he was looking at me like, "But you don't look like Wreck-It Ralph." I was like, yeah. And he's like, say I'm going to wreck it. I was like, I'm going to wreck it. And he's like, no, say it like in the movie. I was like, I'm trying here.
He's the harshest critic you had.
Yeah.
We have a clip from the film for folks who have not seen too much about it. Again, this is from Wreck-It Ralph. It's in theaters now. Check it out, John C. Reilly.
I don't want to be the bad guy anymore. Can't mess with the program, Ralph.
You're not going turbo, are you?
Turbo? No, I'm not going turbo. Come on, guys. Is it turbo to want a friend? Or a medal? Or a piece of pie every once in a while? Is it turbo to want more out of life?
Yes.
Ralph, we get it. But we can't change who we are. Oh. And the sooner you accept that, the better off your game and your life will be.
Oh, we learn a little something.
See, a valuable lesson at the end for the kids, John.
There you go. Yeah,
love it so much.
A friend of mine's little 5-year-old son, after he saw it, was like upset. All the kids had come out kind of jacked up and like completely mental about the movie afterwards. And my one friend's kid was like, "Mom, I'm a good bad guy."
That's awesome.
There's so much in the movie that different people relate to. Like, the older people are relating to the fact that the guy's having a midlife crisis,
right?
But, and the younger kids are like, can really relate to what it's like to like want to do the right thing but messing stuff up. You know, like, I didn't mean to break it, Mom. Like,
yep,
of course.
So, well, you've given them a good excuse. The little troublemakers.
Exactly.
Exactly. Well, listen,
I'm
super,
bad,
super
and that's
fun.
Good. I will never be good, and that's not bad.
I know you got to go, John. We love having you on the Kevin Amin Show. We always run out of time, unfortunately, but please come back and see us soon, all right?
I would love to.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks for the
Bye-bye.
Time. One of my favorite actors of all time, Andre Brouwer, joins us in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin Amin Show. Dr. Drew next hour, and, oh, I don't know, a Bond girl. Come on with that on the way. Bernice Marlowe going to be joining us.
First, though,
let's give away some tickets for our Breakfast with Mumford & Sons. This is a game we like to call Total Recall.
Total Recall, that's the game that we play. If you want tickets to Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Mumford & Sons.
Here's the way the game is played. I'm going to give you the category. I'm going to ask you to name five things in the category in 10 seconds. If you do, you go into the drawing to win Breakfast with Mumford & Sons, which airs on K-Rock Tuesday morning at 7, and you also get to see the band at the Hollywood Bowl. So who's our first contestant here, Kevin?
We're going to start with Donna, who's a student at Cypress College. Hi, Donna.
Hi.
All right, Donna, as we just mentioned, we have the beautiful actress Bernice Marlowe from the new James Bond movie Skyfall joining us in studio next hour. Here's your challenge. Name any five other James Bond movies. Any five other James Bond movies in the next 10 seconds. Good luck.
Black Hawk, Casino Royale, Quantum Solace.
Yeah, 10 seconds goes by fast. What was the first one you say? Did you say Black Hawk?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, you're just making stuff up.
Or is that just your wish list?
Casino Royale, Cuatro Sauce, yeah, there are 20 others, but you weren't able to come up with any of them. Die Another Day, A View to a Kill, You Only Live Twice, Tomorrow Never Dies.
All right, don't rub it in, Bean.
Yeah,
thank you for playing.
In front of you.
Anyway, thank you.
Let's go to Lisa.
I just didn't want people to think there weren't other choices out there. I wasn't trying to make it too hard, that's all.
Lisa, hi.
Hi.
Lisa, everyone is talking about TV host Donald Trump's Twitter meltdown after President Obama was reelected on Tuesday night. So here's the one for you. I want you to name five other words that rhyme with Trump. Five other words that rhyme with Trump. Good luck.
Hump, Trump, dump.
By the way, I think the third one she said was Trump.
Trump.
Right. So there was five other words other than Trump. So even if Stump had gotten in under the wire, I'm sorry, you would not have won. Thank you for playing that.
Sorry.
There was also bump and clump and jump. There's enough.
All right. Let's go to Evelyn. Hi, Evelyn.
Yes.
Evelyn, good luck. You're playing for breakfast with Mumford & Sons tickets. Next Tuesday morning, me, Bean, will be going under the knife, and I am giving away a kidney to a friend. Perhaps you've heard about it here on K-Rock. I want you to name for me five other organs in the human body. Five other organs in the human body in 10 seconds. Good luck.
The heart, liver, lung, bladder. Heart.
Wow. You got off to such a strong start. There's the brain, the pancreas, gallbladder, intestines, appendix. Thank you for playing, though. All right, I think we're into sudden death here, Kevin. Yep. We have no one who has gotten it so far, right?
That's correct. Craig is an engineer, and Craig's going to give it a go. Craig, if you get this right, if you get five of them in 10 seconds, you will win.
All right.
All right, Craig, good luck. Listen up. Going back to Mumford & Sons, they are yet another in the latest of a long line of popular recording artists whose name starts with the letter M. Recording artists whose names start with the letter M. Name five besides Mumford & Sons. Good luck.
Muse, Mariah Carey, Menomina,
Did he say Menomina?
Yes, that is a band.
Kevin. It is? I thought he was talking about Menomina.
It's a great band, yeah. Right. Metallica, Madonna, Meatloaf, My Chemical Romance, Modest Mouse. Yeah, of course, like Lisa says, it's easy for me. I have a list, but it's tough when the pressure's on with 10 seconds. All right, we only have one more question left, so let's hope this contestant gets it.
All right, Darren.
Yes.
Get it right.
All right.
You'll be winning Breakfast with Mumford & Sons if you're right. Of course, we're the only station giving away the Breakfast with Mumford & Sons here at K-Rock, but we're not the only radio station in town. I want you to name for me five other Southern California radio stations, five other stations on the dial. Good luck.
Star, KLOS, and, Coast, Cola, Jack FM.
Oh, so close! God. By the way, he was technically after the buzzer, but he's also the only person we talked to today who was able to come up with five, so I say we give it to him.
All right.
I'm good with that.
You're lucky, Darren.
Woo!
You failed less than everybody else. Congratulations. We'll see you at Mumford.
Thank you.
Bye. Total Recall. Beautiful Bond girl Berenice Marlowe joins us after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. Dr. Drew next hour as well. Here's what one critic wrote in the paper this morning, Kevin. Don't let the submarine thriller Last Resort take a dive in the ratings falls. Best new drama returns with another tenth episode in which an unknown force attacks the crew and puts Marcus and Sam on the defensive. Well, the great actor who plays Marcus, Andre Brower, joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Mr. Brower, welcome back, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Always a pleasure to have you on. Last Resort airs Thursday nights at 8 on ABC. When you take on a role, you need to know something about the man you're going to be playing. Tell me about the training to learn how to be in the Navy on a freaking submarine.
Well, you know, I did a lot of research, and most of that was done in books and reading. And then I had four different retired subcommanders talk to me about what it meant to be in command of number one, these powerful devices, the responsibility that goes with command of a nuclear submarine, and really what's going on in their minds during the course of these missions.
Those of you that haven't seen it, Andre Brower plays a character who gets an order to fire a nuclear missile at Pakistan, and he's like, nope, I need a backup code. I need confirmation. He can't get it, so he doesn't fire it, and all hell breaks loose.
There's no way to prepare for an order like that, even guys who have been in the military their whole lives, I would imagine, right? Because you're still a human being, and that's an awesome decision. That's something to be asked to be doing.
Yeah, you know, here's the most important point is that, you know, we don't refuse this order because we're pacifists. You know, we're well-trained naval officers with a lot of experience under our belts. You know, it's a question of whether or not this is a proper order, whether the protocol is correct, and whether we're receiving something that ought to be acted upon, you know. So what's important to emphasize right up front is this is not, you know, this is not some small thing where they decide, oh, well, you know, today's Tuesday, I'm not going to fire.
Right.
Really a question of whether we're going to be responsible and eventually are we going to be judged by history as having done the right thing.
Is this an actual order or is something wrong here? And you sense something's wrong. Do you have a lot of, is the Navy there all the time or do they have advisors tell you what would happen in this particular case?
We're not a DOD approved show because, you know, it's really about a mutiny on a nuclear submarine.
Well, so, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so.
There's that.
So there's some you know, there are advisors. We do have advisors on board to keep us from being, you know, entirely speculative. But what we don't have is we don't have the same sort of stuff that they had on Crimson Tide.
You know,
that was briefly a DOD approved show, and consequently, they created the interior of a nuclear submarine that was very, very authentic, along with, you know, all the codes and the lingo and the procedures. So what we're doing is basically doing our best to model on stuff that was true about 10 years ago, and along with our tech advisors, we're trying to bring ourselves up to speed. So much of it is classified, you know what I mean? Nuclear submarines are still classified, so you can't go inside and take pictures, you know. So we're speculating on certain aspects of a submarine, but generally I feel as though we have really good advice about how to perform and how to behave.
Hey, you got better internet on that sub than I have at my house. I'm very impressed. It seems like you guys can bring up anything on any screen on 5 seconds' notice, which is amazing.
We can, and the Secretary of Defense is always standing by to take our call.
That is amazing.
Yeah. And again, we're talking to actor Andre Braugher about his show Last Resort, which airs tonight again at 8 on ABC. You've got the big question about the war and the orders and, you know, now who's trying to do what to the sub. But you also have the smaller question of, you know, basically, and this is what makes all great shows great, is how humans interact with one another, how you interact with the other people on the sub and all the various problems you get into with the island that you end up on. And there's so much to explore there, too. Did you talk to people about what it's like living on a submarine for months at a time and what that does to their heads?
I did. You know, most of the guys in submarines are quite comfortable about it. I hear a few tales of people who couldn't adapt, you know, and you know, it's a volunteer force, and they go through a lot of training. So people who adapt poorly are weeded out early, you know. People who can't stand to be, you know, under the water for that long are weeded out early. And it's not a shameful process. It's just that some people can take it and some people can't. But when on the submarines that I visited, everyone seemed to be in good spirits, and they knew exactly what they were doing. And they looked, you know, fresh and gung-ho about it. So so it looked like, you know, people understood their mission. And they were comfortable with it.
How many episodes are left in this season?
So we're doing right now. We're doing the 11th episode. So so we got two more to shoot. We'll be done by of the first initial order. The 13 will be done by Christmas.
Will we know by then who the bad guy is or where things broke down?
You mean in Washington D.C.?
Yeah.
No, I think that's going to take a long time to figure out.
All right.
I mean, that's through layers and layers, a labyrinth of evildoers to get to the heart of the matter.
All right.
My only fear about this show, Mr. Braugher, is that people will be discouraged from wanting to join the Navy because they're not good-looking enough, because you have a ridiculous array of supermodels, male and female, on your ship.
Yeah, you know, it's not a bad place to be stuck for 3 months. You know? Yeah, we do. We have some hot sailors on board, and but that's the way TV works.
Yes, that's the way TV works. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. The show is called Last Resort Thursday night. That's tonight at 8 on ABC. Always great to have you on, sir. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Hey, traffic. Well, don't be a hater. Get a Garmin Nuvi with subscription-free HD digital traffic and avoid it with updates as often as every 30 seconds. Drive with Garmin, the most trusted name in GPS. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
I am not driving with Garmin. I'll tell you that right now.
Drive with me.
He's nuts.
I will tell you where to go.
He's not to be trusted.
I'll tell you where to go. Straight hey, to hell. That's what I would say to you of my GPS.
Speaking of Garmin, did you wear your tuxedo today as you threatened to make our next guest more comfortable?
I didn't. I was running late and it was raining and I was like, F it.
Yeah. Well, you blew your chance, man.
No, I didn't because Berenice is in the other room and I said, you see my Aston Martin out there in the parking lot? She was very impressed.
Nice.
So there you go. I have hours until they come back to take it away from me so I can continue the charade for another couple hours at least.
Berenice Marlowe will be our guest right after the top of the hour. She is one of the co-stars of Skyfall, opening everywhere tomorrow. Ralph, it's here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday.
You know, I've seen the film. I've seen Skyfall.
Yes.
You guys haven't.
Right.
So I'm just saying, if you guys want to go get some coffee or some breakfast or something, take a break. I think I got this one. I think I'm good. I think I got it covered.
I'll sit in. I don't have to ask anything, but I'll sit in just to make sure.
I bet you will.
Everything's working well.
She's ready in the other room. She just couldn't be more lovely and charming and sweet. Very, very nice lady.
Fantastic.
Let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Jermaine Jackson. This may be the greatest story ever. Jermaine Jackson has announced he wants to change his name.
Is this the guy that named his kid Your Majesty?
Sure. It's the father of Your Majesty.
All right.
And You're Making Me Crazy, I think, was another one of his children. Jermaine Jackson, of course, the older brother of Michael Jackson, part of the legendary Jackson 5. He has filed a name change petition here in Los Angeles, did so on Tuesday, stating the switch was for artistic reasons.
Wait, artistic? He's been Jermaine Jackson his whole life, and that's what's made him famous.
He is part of the most legendary family in show business,
What's he changing his name to?
He wants to...
Jeremy?
He's changing his name to Jermaine... No, he's changing his last name. He's changing the Jackson surname.
Really?
I don't think I've ever heard of that.
He is changing his name from from Jermaine Jackson to Jermaine Jackson.
What?
What's the difference?
Jackson, J-A-C-K-S-U-N.
What? So he's changing the O to a U.
Yes.
So it's said the same.
Right.
Why is he doing that?
No one knows.
What?
He stated the switch was for artistic reasons.
Artistic?
Yeah. So
explain, please.
We'll know whether Jackson becomes Jackson on February 22nd. Will be the final decision by the court. So.
I can't wait that long.
That's the strangest thing I've ever heard.
He's Jack's son, man. Like the sun in the sky. It's bright. Man.
So what? But how? Who?
How will that change?
Look, he named his kid Your Majesty, for God's sakes.
But does he think that people are going to go, oh, I hated that effing Jermaine Jackson, but Jermaine Jackson, I love this
dude.
Have
you heard the new that new artist, Jermaine Jackson?
he's the best.
He's a fresh new talent on the scene. Wait, you don't mean Jermaine Jackson, do you? No. That was the old guy from the Jackson 5. This guy's name's Jermaine Jackson.
What?
But the emotion, too much for Tito.
It is. The whole thing's been too much for Tito. He hasn't been heard from since the announcement.
What the hell? Too much for Tito,
is that family just completely off their nut or what?
Yes. All are.
That's the answer. Ratings are in for election night, by the way. Who did you watch, Kevin? Who did you watch your election coverage from?
I did not.
What?
I'm so much
shocked.
Watch the election
you
coverage.
Weren't locked in to watch election coverage.
I was not. My wife was watching CNN.
Yeah, that's what I was watching, too. And I was flipping around just to see what everybody else was doing. I got to tell you, I don't know why CNN isn't just a monster in the ratings when it comes to news. Because it was the only one that looked like a newscast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, all the other ones, there were people kidding. It was like a bad morning talk show in Iowa or something. On Fox, they were riffing back. Hey, you didn't have my back. I thought we were going to break into a song there. It's like, hey, isn't there something going on you could be talking about?
I think they have to stall for too long because they have nothing to say.
CNN keeps it moving. Mm-hmm. They always got something
going
on.
They got maps. They have a lot of maps.
Blitzer kept interrupting people and saying, shut up. I have something else to say. And he would go to some other prediction or something. It was rapid fire. But as I mentioned, the ratings are in. NBC was the big winner for the networks.
Isn't that a surprise?
12.6 million people watched their coverage.
I don't know. What did you expect, Pete?
Honestly, these days, the networks have ceded their news position, and I thought most people's minds that most people will go to CNN or they'll go to Fox.
Oh, you thought it would be CNN?
I thought it would be one of the cable channels.
You have to keep in mind, I know we take it for granted, but there are some people who don't have cable.
Yeah.
And don't have satellite television, and they still watch over-the-air television broadcasts. So I think on an evening where everybody is watching the same thing, you will always see the networks have a slight advantage because there is a certain percentage of people who just don't have the other outlets. Yeah, NBC was first, then ABC and CBS. Fox came in fourth with 5 million viewers. On cable television, CNN was the big winner with 8.8 million viewers. And then the Fox News Channel was just a hair under that, but they came in second. So there's Karl Rove over there on Fox refused to believe.
I heard they were spinning out.
That President Obama was reelected.
Really?
He went nuts.
Like, even after all the votes aren't even in Ohio, and I'm saying it's not going to work. And they're like, what the, Carl?
And then one of the hosts, she took a handheld mic, and she walked down the hallway to talk to the guys who do the research. Like, Carl doesn't believe what you have to say. Is it? Are you guys sure? Because Carl's really upset. It was insane.
And this was after his own network, Fox, had already called the election as over. He was still fighting it.
Yeah. He went apoplectic.
Love it.
So it's good stuff. Britney Spears.
We only got a week until they start campaigning for the next presidential campaign.
Yeah.
I heard, of course, I listen to a lot of talk radio.
What?
I heard this topic yesterday. Who's going to run in 2016 and why?
Oh. Yes,
I sure did.
It's a good thing they didn't say that to Kevin, because Kevin,
I would have killed.
He would have ripped their heart out like Bruce Lee in a kung fu movie. I showed it to him. I was still
beating.
Then I would
have eaten it. I don't know why, but it
seems
worse. Yeah.
It does seem like there ought to be at least some refractory period before we could start looking ahead, right?
Nope. It's political Viagra, man.
Nope.
Britney Spears has announced she will be back for another season of The X Factor.
America, easiest gig ever.
America yawned. In a video released yesterday, Britney said, yes, I definitely will. And Fox has renewed the show for a third season. So looks like all systems are go for more Britney, who hasn't been nearly crazy enough to be entertaining on the show. She's been sort of a dullard.
I haven't even been tempted to tune in because I don't hear any great, stories about what's going on over there.
Yeah, I watched the first couple just to see if she would melt down.
She needs to crazy it up.
She was only interesting when she was crazy to me. When she shaved her head and started hitting SUVs with umbrellas. And
now I'm in.
It was 5150 in the back of an ambulance. Like, she's my favorite pop star ever. And now she just sits there in a dress and talks about stuff. Boring. Today's celebrity birthdays. Before I get to the showbiz birthdays, I do want to give a shout-out to a friend of the Kevin Bean Show and our buddy Jensen Karp, who runs Gallery 1988 over there on Melrose.
Yep.
Super talented guy and a very funny podcaster as well. And one of the funniest guys on Twitter, if you want to follow him. He's a very talented guy. Happy birthday, Jensen. Jessica Lowndes from 90210 is 24 years old today. Jack Osborne turns 27. Azura Sky from CSI Miami is 31. Daniel Ramirez from Heroes, Entourage, and let's not forget Premium Rush, the bicycle movie.
Sure.
With Joseph Gordon-Levitt, 33 years old today. Tara Reid.
Oops,
from the American Pie movies.
I take it back.
37 years old.
Hey, muscle attention. Reflex from 10 years ago.
Poor Tara. Gretchen Mol from Boardwalk Empire is 40 years old today.
Thank you, Kevin.
Parker Posey's 44. Courtney Thorne-Smith turns 45 years old today. Gordon Ramsay, legendary.
My right arm hurts more than usual today.
Oh.
No,
see,
I mean,
now
this guy
right
is a Berenice.
It's this kind of talk that concerns me about our next interview.
I just am hitting the... Stop. I don't know what... But,
Gordon Ramsay is 46 years old. Leif Garrett, former teen idol, singer and actor, is 51. I can't believe he's made it to 51, by the way.
No kidding.
The guy has been found in more bus station bathrooms with a syringe hanging out of his arm than anybody you've ever heard of. It's insane. Mary Hart from Entertainment Tonight turned 62 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
K-Rock and CBS Television teaming up today to raise money for the Red Cross to help those still in need from the damage from Hurricane Sandy, which is, if you've had your TV on at all today, it's just getting nothing but worse for New York and New Jersey with the snow and the other storm that's coming in there. It's so cold. All day today until 10 o'clock, you can call this number, 818-827-5123, to donate money to the Red Cross. 818-827-5123. Our own Nicole Alvarez is standing by, among others, answering phones. You can go to krock.com for all the details. All right, Ralph, it's all yours.
The new James Bond movie, Skyfall, opens up tomorrow in theaters everywhere across America. It's the 50th anniversary of James Bond. And I think Skyfall may not only be one of the best James Bond movies ever, but certainly has one of the most lovely and talented Bond girls ever. Berenice Marlowe welcomes us.
Oh, welcome to the studio.
I love you. I love you too, trust me.
Not as much as we love you.
Thanks. Severin, of course, in the film. And I got to tell you, I've been teasing the guys because I've seen it for a couple of weeks now. But your performance in the film is really excellent.
Oh, thank you.
And it's the first time I'm really familiar with your work. You've done mostly television in France up till now, right?
Absolutely. I did only TV shows and yeah, I was struggling in France not having auditions and so basically yeah, and I'm so happy that I get to
How did this come about? How did you get involved with James Bond?
Well, actually, I was used to be my own agent and manager. So,
really?
Yeah, because I hate having to wait for someone to give me, you know, opportunities.
You're just too cheap to pay anyone, right? That's what's really going on.
Thank you for revealing that. So, yeah, so I spent today in front of my computer trying to find all the contacts of any people working on that project.
And so you
I
heard they were making everywhere. A new Bond film, and
yes.
You pursued it. You went after it.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Now, I would imagine, Bernice, that they see 1,000 actresses when they're casting a James Bond movie. I would imagine they cast a very, very wide net. You must have known the chances were slim that you would get this role, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But I never thought about that, and I just brought my Marlon Brando charism, animal charism on the set during the audition, and they were all so impressed.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but
you as Marlon Brando, if I could just... Oh, not at all.
Okay. I see myself as Marlon Brando.
I heard a story, and I wonder if it's true or not, that you had a dream about this film before you auditioned?
Yeah, and I didn't drink before.
You didn't have a drink?
No alcohol, no nothing.
I like that that's your first defensive
statement.
So this
wasn't a hallucination, this was an actual dream.
But yeah, I had a lot of signs, you know, in the universe. I love to listen to signs and to listen to my guts. And then, yeah, I had a dream 1 year before we would start the filming.
And what was the dream? Just you in it?
Yeah, I was arriving in L.A. actually, and I was just wondering how am I going to do now, because I feel the place is so positive and you can do everything, but just concretely, how am I going to do to get an agent and stuff like that? And I slept and I had this dream with Javier Bardem, and I absolutely never dream about any actors in my life, and I barely knew him. So that was so strange, because right after the dream, I felt a huge feeling of peaceful, you know, in the stomach.
Wow.
Of peace in the stomach. Wow.
So you had a dream you were going to work with Javier Bardem, and yeah. At the time you didn't even know that Javier had been cast in the Bond
movie. No, right? Absolutely not. No. I didn't even know that it would be a Bond movie.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
It worked out
now,
to be.
Now, they're so secretive, the James Bond people. They're very tight-lipped about what's happening in the movies. When you showed up for the audition, did you get to do a scene that ended up in the movie, or did they give you some other material just to try you out?
No, definitely. There were 3 auditions on 2 scenes of Skyfall. That are existing. In the final product.
And how long have you been keeping all these secrets? When did you start working on the movie?
Well, I get to know. I was chosen maybe two or three months before we would have a press conference in London. You know, mm-hmm.
So is it about a year and a half that you've been kind of keeping? Because you can't talk about any of the secrets that are in the movie,
no,
right?
No, I can't.
And there's a lot that happens in this film that has a big impact on sort of the franchise, on the James Bond franchise.
Like what?
We can't say.
I'm just asking her. I thought I could catch her, Ralph.
There's a scene in the film, this is not a spoiler, between you and Daniel as Bond in the casino in Macau.
Yes.
And you are supposed to be frightened in this scene. And as I watched it, I actually saw you trembling on screen. I said, how remarkable that someone can pull that off. What as an actress, where do you put yourself to be able
alcohol,
to create
that kind
of...
Alcohol,
wine,
red
wine. Was it booze? You guys weren't drinking it up there in the casino. Maybe that's what it was. But you go to put a cigarette to your lips, and I actually saw your hand tremble. And I said, that's a remarkable moment. In a Bond film, you don't expect to see those little moments of really sort of tour de force acting. I was very impressed.
Yeah, I use a lot of substitutes, actually, on what I have a deep feeling in my life as a human being, injustice, or a lot of things like that, just to create this feeling of fear and to be very... to feed my guts and emotions with all that.
Right.
How does she make even the word guts sound so cool?
Guts.
The magic of the French.
I don't know. Bernice Marlowe is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about the movie Skyfall that, as we mentioned, opens up everywhere tomorrow. Take me back to your...
We need to take a break.
What? No, hold on a second.
Come on,
here. I have
Kevin,
more questions. Why are you a bad person?
We need to take a break. She's going to stick around.
Hold on. What do you have that's better? That we're talking to Bernice right now.
Nothing, but I have
what
diamonds.
What are you going to hit that's better?
We have to take
I am
a break.
So disappointed.
When we get
damn
back,
damn you to
Bernice.
Hell.
When we get back, can we talk about the shower scene?
Yes, we can.
Okay.
Yes,
okay. Okay.
Just
good,
because right. It's you, yeah.
Because it's me.
Finally, this show is getting good. After all these years, today is the day that we finally break through because the beautiful actress Bernice Marlowe is in studio with us. She, of course, one of the co-stars of Skyfall. Also on the cover of the current Maxim magazine, by the way, which is on newsstands now and certainly well worth checking out. All right, Ralph, you had a question right before we had to break with Berenice about a particular scene in the movie Skyfall that you've seen.
Yeah, I was just wondering, you're going from working in television in France at this point to one of the biggest movie franchises and one of the biggest movies of the year. There has to be a certain amount of nerves on your part to join a production of that size that could be that important to your career, right? Yeah.
You know, surprisingly, it was the one time in my life where I felt so connected with that universe and connected with myself as a woman at that moment in my life, that it was the very first audition that I would have a very strong point of view on what I wanted to do and for that role, and I felt strongly connected with the music, the orchestration in those movies. So I was more stressed for a commercial for yogurt or for a French bad, you know, crap TV program, honestly. And I knew instinctively that those persons, you know, Sam and Daniel, would understand, you know, where I wanted to go. And in France, they kept on telling me, no, what would you think you are? You don't act like French people, you know. And I would sense that they would have a strong feeling about art, you know, and creation.
But still, you're on the set one day, and it comes time for you to do a shower scene with James Bond.
Sometimes, for the sake and the love of art, with a big A, you have to do some sacrifices. You know?
Were you nervous at all that day on the set? You naked in a shower stall with James Bond. There has to be a sort of surreal quality to
honestly,
that.
Honestly, what it was amazing with Daniel on set during the 6 months is that he's such a
you
wonderful...
You shot that scene for 6 months?
Yeah.
He's the luckiest man in show business.
Wow. Oh, I don't think we got it, but I'll try it again.
No, he's absolutely wonderful and has a great sense of humor. And for me, it's very important because then you create a real human connection and you feel very relaxed. So actually, we were just like kid having to play and just believe also your story, you know, the story of the character and serve the character's life. So no, that was great. And I was singing under the shower at one point, so relaxed I was, and Sam would tell me, What are you doing? It was so funny too, Sam. And Daniel was just coming and doing so much jokes and, you know, impersonalization. He's such a clown.
He was doing that so that they had to get another take.
Yeah, he kept doing that for it, I'm sure.
I never thought about that.
Now, what about the report that he was so shy and he wanted to wear his underwear?
Oh,
and you insisted.
Thank you for asking that.
What about that?
This is
you
not
insisted.
True.
Not true.
You were a sex kitten and he was a shy little boy. That's what I understand.
Right.
This is not true.
Not
you
true.
Know, I'm reading so much things that are not true. But if that was the case, and I don't remember having said that, but it would have been like, you know, I always love to do bad jokes. So the Beast, me, for instance, entered the room and all the guys were so afraid of this animal charisma that suddenly they were trembling and all that stuff.
The sexual power that you have over men is overwhelming.
Exactly, but sometimes they forget to notice that, to mark that you're laughing, or then it turns into something very weird. You
sure.
Know?
This is the voice of actress Berenice Marlowe here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about the film Skyfall, opening tomorrow. Do you remember back when you were perhaps even a little girl, the first time you saw a James Bond movie, Berenice?
Yeah, I saw the first one was A View to a Kill, and I mm-hmm. just got to fell in love with Christopher Walken and Grace Jones.
Yeah, sure.
Because they were absolutely brilliant and have this beautiful quality of being strange, you know, and powerful, and I really loved their performance in that one.
You must be so gratified to see the early reviews, and of course the movie has already opened in other parts of the world and it's made enormous money, but the reviews have been, as Ralph said, not only one of the best Bond movies of all time, but one of the best movies we've seen in years. That just must be so gratifying to know that it's such good work.
Oh yes, well definitely. I was so surprised by, you know, it's a real movie with a real script, real characters, but at the same time each picture is so beautiful, the light, you know, the aesthetics. I had the feeling that you had a journey through a dream and combining real situations, and that was very surprising.
We were talking about this in the other room. The cinematography and the lighting in this film are unlike anything you've ever seen in any action movie
How?
Before. There are moments in this film, not to spoil anything, but for example, there's a sequence in a giant glass skyscraper involving an assassin and Bond, and they use the reflection off of the glass of the windows of the doors leading into those rooms of the building across the way from where the victim is. Visually, it is poetic in a lot of areas, yeah. And there are moments where Daniel Craig is entering this Macau casino. He's entering on this slow-moving boat, and there's these lanterns hung everywhere and fireworks in the sky. And visually, it's just a gorgeous film on top of being well-acted and well-written and exciting as hell.
Ralph, I think you've gone a little fruity since you started driving the Aston Martin. Which is it in the parking lot for real, Ralph?
Yeah, it's still in the parking lot. I still have the key in my pocket, and I'm not giving it up without a fight.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
That's for sure. It was funny because Bernice said, they didn't give me one to drive around.
Well, I'm sad to say this, but I believe we're out of time.
No,
Bernice.
No, she's staying.
I know. Look, no one hates Dr. Drew more than I do, but he's up
next. Especially right now.
So we have to talk to him. But Berenice, what do you think? Are you allowed to say what is next? I heard you mumbling something off air, but are we allowed to say what your next project is going to be?
I'm working with Terrence Malick on his project, and I'm so happy because it's such a poet, you know, of life and a beautiful soul. You get to get that with this.
Yeah, he's
movie.
Amazing.
So
he's
your
amazing.
First two movie directors have been Sam Mendes and Terrence Malick.
Yeah, I know. This is what you call class in France. It's, you know,
you have a hell of an agent.
Shame, such a slow start. In your career.
You haven't done a single Adam Sandler movie yet. You're already. Is it true you are moving to Los Angeles? And if so, can you read traffic? What?
You know, I don't drive. I don't drive. That's a shame.
That's okay. You can still do traffic.
You can still read the traffic for us.
I'll just write it for you.
All right. Skyfall opens up everywhere tomorrow, directed by the great Oscar-winning director Sam Mendes, Daniel Craig, Javier Bardem, Judy Dench, and the beautiful Berenice Marlou, our new best friend in the whole world. Thank you so much for coming in. We really enjoyed it.
My big pleasure.
Thank you.
Don't forget, between 9 and 10, yet another chance for you to get your tickets to join us for our VIP breakfast with Mumford & Sons. If you're not lucky enough to be there in person to help us do the interview and listen to the band play live, you can hear it Tuesday morning at 7 right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's go to Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew joins us every week here on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Great to talk to you. I've been very impressed with the work you've been doing on your headline news show, Dr. Drew on Call. You spent a couple of days out there in Staten Island, and I'm wondering if people in Southern California have any idea just how bad it is out there, Doctor?
Yeah, I find it even actually interesting that we're discussing it because sitting here in our 90-degree weather, it's hard to even imagine what's going on out there. And I can only tell you it's mind-bending walking around those streets of the neighborhood of Staten Island and the other parts of New York and New Jersey that were hit so hard. When we're sitting out here, it seems like it's just not possible. But I'm telling you, there are people stuck in their homes with their walls and their furniture and their floors covered with this silt and mud and wet. Mm-hmm. And it's now freezing on top of that. They've got a northeaster coming through. And I went through there. I just felt helpless. I was actually traumatized by walking through it. Just story after story of misery. And strangely enough, you would think in this day and age there would be something we could do. We seem paralyzed to help these people.
You kept asking a question. I didn't get a chance to stick around to the very end of your hour last night, Dr. Drew, but you kept saying, why are these people still in their homes and not being taken to some place where they can, if nothing else, have a roof over their head and get warm? What's the answer?
That's exactly right. The couple answers I would get was, well, we had high school set up, and now the high schools are operating again. We can't have the people are homeless in there. Then it was, well, there's really no leadership. Then it was, we could open a prison, but the state has to do that. The city can't. And then FEMA's there, but FEMA doesn't have – my big question is, why doesn't FEMA bring out trailers or something? Just something.
Right.
Or give them a couple bucks for a hotel. These people – here's the great lesson in this whole thing. Don't live close to the bone, because if something happens, it can get really bad. These people cannot afford to restart the power in their house. They can't afford to find food. Now, thank God the community is rising up and giving out food. They can't afford a few bucks to go to a hotel. It's a disaster. And FEMA comes in and goes, all right, we'll give you a loan. The loans they're offering are at a higher interest rate than the bank down the street. So you think, well, at least they guarantee the loan. No guarantees. So it's nothing. So they get absolutely nothing, and they don't know what to do. And then they say, well, where are our leaders? There's no one leading us out of this, giving us a plan, telling us what's likely to happen. We're just sitting here freezing in our homes wet.
Isn't FEMA the group that's supposed to be taking the lead?
And they're there. It's funny. I talked to some of the people, and we have all this paperwork for them. I said, yeah, this paperwork. Tonight they're freezing. What do they do tonight?
Right.
What are they supposed to do? And
they could burn the paperwork, but that's about –
strangely, that's right. Strangely enough, I found a website called BNB, BNB.com, where they're matching people up with rooms. People that just want to offer a room for somebody to stay in, they're offering it up. Now, how desperate things are, there's no gasoline, and there's no money to pay for gasoline, and their car is floated down the street, so they can't get to these rooms.
Wow.
It's really crazy.
You had a lady on last night who I think was in Pennsylvania who said, you know, she knows people that if they run out of gas for their generator, which is the only possibility they have of any kind of heat, and it happens to be either an even day or an odd day because of the gas rationing that's going on right now to prevent the long lines, they're out of luck. They can't get gas if their generator runs out on the wrong day, right?
Just screwed. And then again, trying to find gas, find the gas, A, pay for the gas, B, and then get in your car and go to some place where somebody's offering you a room. And then, by the way, how do you go back to work so you can bail yourself out of this whole thing in the midst of all that?
Right.
It's really wild.
Let me ask you one more thing about a guy you had on last night who was a Navy SEAL who had written a book, and I thought this was fascinating. We all know that humans are capable of withstanding a lot, and you see this all the time in your practice, Dr. Drew. But he was talking about the way that people literally survive day to day, sometimes hour to hour. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. It's sort of a military training of how to withstand sort of insurmountable tasks. And he was saying, celebrate every accomplishment. When you get to every sunrise, celebrate. Every sunset, celebrate. When another afternoon passes and you're still here, celebrate that, and you're okay, and you're surviving. And he said, I think, Bean, this is what caught your attention. He said, in POW training, they're taught that some of these guys have reported that if they catch a cockroach that day, they celebrate it because that's enough nutrition to get through the day.
Wow. Is that something else? They're like, you can't. It's too overwhelming to think about the big picture. These people who may have lost almost everything they own, and it's 20 degrees out, and they have no place to go and nothing to wear. It's too big to think about that. So just think, all right, can I make it for an hour? Can I make it till tonight? And that's the way you get through the day, which is just, it's astonishing in the United States of America. This isn't video that we're seeing from Haiti after an earthquake. In the U.S., it's astonishing that people have to react that way.
That's right.
Dr. Drew,
that's what's got me.
Let me ask you another question, and this is kind of a comparison with Hurricane Katrina, which it took, you know, forever to get help down there. And a lot of people said it's because they were poor. This is a completely different part of the country. How long do you think it's going to take for them to at least get back to some kind of normal?
Those kinds of questions were what were driving me crazy, because I would ask those sorts of things and people would just sort of shrug their shoulders and look at me with empty glares. We have no idea. It seems like it's going to be on the order of months, believe it or not.
Wow. Well, this storm and this snow that's piling up and the super cold weather is horrible. It's the last thing they needed. But it does sound like there's a break in the weather. Like by the weekend, it's supposed to warm up quite a bit and be okay, right?
I hope so. I don't understand. Last night I just was saying on the HLM program, just get out. I mean, save yourself. Find a, you let the police cart you off somewhere. Just do anything. Get out of there, because this is ridiculous. A lot of people were staying in their homes because they're afraid of looting.
Yeah,
there was
right.
another sort of layer to this.
Yep. Yeah.
But speaking of withstanding, you know, difficult tasks, Bean, I understand you have something that is coming up.
He does.
That may require you to practice some of these same mechanisms.
I hope not. I hope I'm going to be in a first world hospital. You heard about I'm donating a kidney on Tuesday, Dr. Drew. You have any experience at all with kidney donation?
Kidneys, not lately. I've not donated a kidney, but I did go.
No, I mean just in your practice. Have you had patients and whatnot? You know something about it.
I've been to At Bean's Kidney. I've read all those. Okay. I came upon that. Fell out of my chair.
That's none of us, but it's pretty funny.
We don't know who that is, Dr. Drew, but he's doing a good job, right?
Somebody with your kidney, I thought. But yes, of course, kidney transplants are increasingly common. I'm more dealing with the folks that are the recipients than the people.
How much could go wrong for Bean, though? Let's focus on that.
Well, it's a surgery, and it's Bean.
Yeah.
How dare you?
What are the chances he's going to die?
Come on.
Very remote.
Come on, Dr. Drew. Help me out.
Very remote. Yeah. It can go bad in a surgery, of course. But these are you going to have laparoscopic?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Laparoscopic, yeah.
Yeah, and so this is a very well perfected procedure. But Bean, I mean, all seriousness, how selfless, I'm sorry, Kevin, to gush a little bit. But
say
oh,
it.
My God, how wonderful of you. When I first read about it, I thought it was so selfless, so wonderful.
All right, go ahead and just admit it, because everybody else has. When you first read it, you thought, but Bean's a dick. This confuses me.
No, I knew you weren't a dick. It still confused me. I didn't think you were a dick. And you know, we've all known Scott. Scott used to do Loveline. I don't know if you remember that.
Right.
That was 30 years ago. And I just thought, I felt diminished by it. I thought, wow, why didn't I offer that? I really
don't be silly.
No, listen, really. I mean, I thought that what a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Yeah, but the world's not going to miss me if it goes wrong, Dr. Drew. You've got a lot of responsibilities and a lot of TV shows. What would we do in America without you on TV? We'd have too many hours to fill.
You have 17 jobs, Dr. Drew.
There'd be a collective sigh of relief.
He only has one.
Listen, I hope to see you in person, and I'm up and around, and Scott is too, and we're both feeling great. I hope we get a chance to see you and shake your hand on at Acoustic Christmas. All right, buddy?
Absolutely.
Dr. Drew, Loveline, Sunday through Thursday nights, 10 to midnight here on good old K-Rock, and weeknights at 9 on HLN. Don't miss Rehab, Sundays at 8 on VH1. Thanks, Doc.
You got it.
Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat. More Mumford & Sons tickets for you coming up right after the top of the hour. Good morning, Ralph.
What?
Nothing.
You're sad, aren't you?
I'm sad.
Yeah. A little bit of a letdown with Berenice out the door.
Decompressing after Berenice Marlowe left.
Yeah. Let me tell you something about our guest that just left from the James Bond movie. I didn't even get to see her, and I love her. So funny, so personality plus.
Yeah, charming.
Just smart, charming. Mm-hmm. Charming, just had everything going on.
Just could not have been sweeter.
Good deal.
And you may not expect this from a Bond girl, but she's pretty good looking, too.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even think about
she's
that.
Not
attractive
out.
Also?
Not hard on the eyes.
I was surprised I didn't know what she looked like. I'm very happy.
I am just sorry that, that she's gone, but also we didn't get a chance to talk to about Javier Bardem, who's the villain of the piece, because his work in this film is, I think, what people will be talking about after this.
Well, he's just one of the best actors ever, right?
He's got a Mo Howard haircut. He walks around with an air compressor, and he blows dude's brains out. It's very unlike him, so, yeah. I can't wait to talk more about the film tomorrow. In the meanwhile, let's talk about something else that's very exciting. Our own version of the Bond girls, Miss Double December.
Yay!
Pageant's coming up on November 30th. We will crown a brand new Miss Double December for 2013. But in order to do that, we need entries. We need you to step up to the plate, ladies. Go to krock.com right now and complete your application. Send in two photos of yourself.
Current.
We just stop with the current.
Nope. How often do we get old pictures?
A lot.
That doesn't happen a lot.
We get headshots. We go, what?
It would help if it's at least a three-quarter full-length photo of yourself. Send us two of those. Got to be 21 years or older. We're taking submissions all the way through next Friday. Then on the following Monday, the 19th, we will announce the top 10 girls in the competition. And the K-Rock listeners get a chance to vote on who their favorite is. We will crown Miss Double December at the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fullerton on Friday, November the 30th is when the pageant's going to be. So it's one of our favorite times of the year. Enter, and you will get a lot of cool stuff. You'll get to go to a lot of cool events. You get to hang out with Kevin and Bean. I mean, come on, ladies. That's what you want. That's like being a Bond girl. Berenice got to be in a shower scene with
easy,
Daniel Craig.
Easy.
You get to hang out with
easy
two guys
easy.
That are...
It's cool, but they're cool
are,
events where you
that
can
are
ditch
challenging
us.
Right, on every exactly. level. On every level, they will challenge you.
I have a question that I'm just going to ask on the air because I know the girls will be asking as they apply, and that is, what is the ruling? It's Miss Double
creepy
D.
Creepy alert.
Women are going to want to know. It's Miss Double D. Does that mean you have to be exactly a double D? Or does it mean you can be technically only a D or technically an E? And still, what's the ruling on that?
Look, we're fairly flexible when it comes to this particular part of the competition.
Okay. I don't want anyone to not enter because they think, oh, I somehow am not eligible.
Miss Double D Summer just implies a certain sort of physique, a curvy, very feminine physique. And we've had E's, we've had large C's. It doesn't really matter. It's not about cup size. It's about you
it's
and
a
being
little bit about
lovely
size.
And charming and fun to be around. And,
okay, well, that's good information to get out there because I think more ladies will realize that they should apply.
The real question is, how tolerant are you? That's the real question. Tolerance plays a large role in a successful run as Miss Double December.
Nice melons. We're a lot to put up with at times.
Oh, man.
Or all the time.
Kirstie Alley's in the news. She's got a memoir out called The Art of Men. That's a ballsy thing for her to call her autobiography. In it, she talks about seemingly delusional romances she had with various leading men she's worked with over the years.
She sounds fat.
She worked with Patrick Swayze in one miniseries and claims that the two were so attracted to each other, Patrick considered leaving his longtime wife for her.
Obviously.
Of course, Patrick now has passed away and cannot defend himself, so that's charming of her to write.
Yeah.
And she also talks about her undeniable sexual chemistry with John Travolta while the two of them were shooting Look Who's Talking.
Yeah! That's hot!
They also shared an irresistible psychosis about Scientology, so they got that going for them. She claims, I know John with all my heart and soul. He's not gay. She wants to set the record straight. So, all you fellas in the massage parlors, you were wrong.
That didn't happen.
He wasn't the least bit interested in you. He's all about the ladies.
That's alleged.
It is interesting that she wanted to have sex with him. He said no, and her conclusion is he's not gay.
Because of undeniable sexual chemistry, Bean.
Okay.
That usually leads to not having sex.
Right. That's the one thing I know about sexual chemistry. You run from that as fast as you can.
It's like Kirstie's undeniable chemistry with a buffet. It's the same. It was the same sort of attraction the two of them had.
She's fat.
Could not resist. Ah, this breaks my heart.
What?
Ariel Winter, who plays the younger daughter on Modern Family.
Oh, yeah.
Just could not be a more super talented little actress and just seems like a sweetheart of a kid. She's been removed from her home by a judge in the wake of serious allegations of physical and emotional abuse by her mother.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's brutal. The judge determined that the allegations that Ariel was being physically and emotionally abused by her mother was... They were serious enough that the judge placed her in temporary guardianship with her older sister, Chanel Workman. Wow. Here's the troubling part. Chanel, her sister, also suffered the same alleged abuse. 2 decades ago, the Department of Children and Family Services removed her from her home as well, based on similar allegations. Chanel was placed in foster care for more than 2 years. She never went back to her mother.
That sucks.
So just a horrible, horrible situation as far as we can tell from what's being played out in the courts regarding that that situation. And
how old is she, Ralph, the actress?
14.
Oh, that's tough.
I believe she's looking for a legal emancipation, and I hope for her sake she gets it. Wow. Because she seems like a super put-together kid and smart and talented and funny. I've seen her in interviews. She seems amazingly put together considering what she may allegedly be going through at home.
No kidding.
So I surely hope that works out for the best. Man, this stuff bugs me. You know what else bugs me?
What?
Reality shows?
Not all.
Most?
Not Honey Boo Boo.
I mean, other than the Toy Hunter and perhaps Collection Intervention, I have a problem with a lot of them. But I think I've found one that will be the kryptonite to Kevin Superman. Kevin loves the reality shows. I don't think he'll be able to watch this one.
All right.
Extreme Cougar Wives. It's going to be on the TLC, naturally, the Freak Show channel.
Sure.
They'll be featuring a show called Extreme Cougar Wives, Kevin.
But they're wives.
Well, now.
But they're wives. So they're not single? Well, how is that interesting?
Well, because they are women who are in love with and have gotten married to much younger men. For example, Kevin,
interested.
I don't know if you'll be tuning in to the episode where you see Hattie, 76-year-old Hattie.
Not interested.
Stop it.
Hooking up with 25-year-old Andrew.
Come on!
I'm just saying.
76 and 25?
76 and 25.
Stop doing what you're doing.
Yeah. Show debuts November the 25th at 10 p.m. I don't know if Kevin's going to be interested in watching Hattie's sexual adventures with a 25-year-old.
My God! Who the hell cares?
The age of 76. Extreme cougars. They're extremely old. They're extremely horny.
Stop doing what you're doing.
Extreme Cougars on TLC. TLC, they're just praying someday to find a cougar midget from the south who has no teeth, who's conjoined to another cougar.
Who hunts with his hands, her hands.
Who's trapping gators and boars out there in the swamps.
They just, lives with Bigfoot.
They're praying for one day they can just put it all together into a super show. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jessica Lowndes of 90210 is 24 years old today. Jack Osborne turns 27. Azura Sky from CSI Miami is 31. Daniel Ramirez from Heroes and Entourage turns 33. Tara Reid is 37. Gretchen Mol from Boardwalk Empire turns 40 years old. Parker Posey is 44. Courtney Thorne Smith of According to Jim in Melrose Place is 45. And I feel like I'm in a short order kitchen now. Bean just keeps putting orders up on the counter. Gordon Ramsay, TV chef, 46 years old. Leif Garrett is 51. And Mary Hart, host of Entertainment Tonight for many, many years, turned 62. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Annie Westrick, listing some imaginary location known as Cali Mesa. Is that a place, Lisa?
I don't think Cala Mesa. I think it's towards Cala Mesa.
I don't think it's a place or a person.
I think both of them are made up. Well, anyway, she's going to be joining us at our breakfast with Mumford & Sons. It's happening Tuesday at 7 a.m. right here on the Kevin & Bean Show. One of the biggest bands in the world, tiny little place, playing their songs live. We'll interview them. You'll interview them. You can get details online right now, of course, at KROQ.com. But we do have many more chances for you to win throughout the day today. And they're going fast because Tuesday's fast approaching. Mumford & Sons, Breakfast With from the Kevin & Bean Show, brought to you by Southern California Mini Dealers. Go to KROQ.com for all the details. Ralph is here for the final look at the Showbiz Beat for a Thursday. Real quick, though, may I give out the phone number one more time if you want to talk to Nicole Alvarez and other great K-Rock and CBS radio and TV personalities?
Yes.
You could say no if you want.
No, feel free. It's okay. A great cause.
Here's the number, 818-827-5123. Again, 818-827-5123. And what that is to help us help the Red Cross raise money to help those who desperately need it after Hurricane Sandy and the new hurricane that's in New York and New Jersey right now. You can go to KROQ.com for all the details. What's going on, Ralph?
And if you're looking for an organ, Bean's giving them out.
So that's right.
Call that number, 1-206-555-1897. He's got plenty to give. He's got all kinds of... He's stocking them deep and selling them cheap is what he's doing. He's giving
You know, there are several things in the human body that you don't need. I haven't given away my appendix. Yep. I could give that away
Who
to
needs
call
one
20.
Of those? Call now.
I offered an organ to Berenice when she was in earlier today. In fact.
See?
Yeah, see,
what?
That's
no,
why
how come? You got to put your but stink I, all over it. Ugh. Can we talk tomorrow? Do we have room in the show tomorrow?
I don't know what.
We're packed tomorrow.
Well.
For what?
Carve out some room. I'll give up a Showbiz Beat, whatever.
For what?
So we can address the fact that Dave Sanchez, the King of Mexico, has never seen a James Bond movie?
Yeah, not one.
Has never seen one James Bond movie?
Yeah. I was surprised by that as well.
How do you accidentally avoid... I mean, don't you accidentally fall into a Bond movie at some point during a TBS marathon? Yeah,
you're watching
something?
TBS, you're watching USA, you're watching any one of these networks. They show
cable,
those,
all
show
the 600 channels, aren't you flipping around and you just happen to come across GoldenEye or something?
I don't know.
And here's what I said to him when I found out. Even if you have no interest or knowledge of James Bond, just if you're a guy like Dave who sees the huge action movies of every year, wouldn't you end up at Casino Royale or something just because it's out and it's good?
It's not my fault.
Even
it
if
is
you don't
your
care
fault.
About James Bond.
This guy,
not my fault.
This guy saw Crossroads, the
he
Britney
did.
Spears movie.
That's true. And he's seen all the Twilights.
Yeah. More importantly, he's seen all the Step Ups.
So have I. It's sort of Dave in my life.
I'm on an island here. I am on an island.
No, I'm 100% with you. It doesn't make any sense to me either. But then, you know, there's a lot of franchises I haven't seen any of either. So, like Terminator and things like that. So, everybody has a whole
Okay, but there were what, four Terminators?
Yeah.
There were
yeah.
22 Bond movies.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot.
Walking down the street on Melrose, you can accidentally fall into a Bond movie. Literally, you'll be in one.
Yeah, I don't...
Not my fault.
It is your fault.
I don't get it either. Madness. And again, why wouldn't you want to go see Skyfall?
Even the worst Bond movie is enormous fun. You go there, sit, you get your popcorn, and
it
you
is
watch.
Just good fun.
Yeah. The best ones are great films on top of being great action films. So I can't imagine anyone who hasn't seen one.
It's not my fault.
It is your fault.
I never saw a Harry Potter movie.
Well, you're bad.
Okay.
It's raining out there, people. Be careful. Lisa, tell people to be careful.
Be careful. Nuts.
Do we only have two weathers now here in Southern California?
Yes.
115 degrees or rain.
Yep.
Those are our only two options?
That's it.
Can't we get a nice crisp fall day with the leaves turning in a little blue?
It's November.
Crisp
you want fall?
Like a sweater on or something like that? Hate. Hate the weather. All right, let's talk about Showbiz News.
Oh, my God, it's raining!
Showbiz News. Daniel Craig apparently very happy now that Skyfall is out and is a smash hit. Opens in theaters everywhere tomorrow. We'll talk more about it. But... this is an interesting article. A lot of people are quoting the Rolling Stone interview that Craig gave. Now, keep in mind, this may need some context because there's no, at least from what I read, it doesn't say when they interviewed him.
Okay.
About the franchise. But surprisingly, Daniel says, I've been trying to get out of this from the very moment I got into it regarding the franchise, but they won't let me go. And I've agreed to do a couple more, so let's see how this one goes, because if business is business and if S goes down, I've got a contract that someone will happily wipe their ass with. I guess he was assuming, obviously, this is before the release of Skyfall. If Skyfall was a stiff at the box office, then it wouldn't matter if he was signed up for two more or not. They'd get somebody else to do it. But to be so disappointed in the franchise, I'm surprised. Because maybe the Quantum of Solace experience was not a good one for him. Maybe that's what he was talking about.
I thought both of those movies were good that he did.
Casino Royale was real good. Quantum was a bit of a disappointment, but still, it was pretty good. By the way, the film has already made $287 million overseas.
Skyfall.
Skyfall.
That hasn't opened yet.
Hasn't opened yet here.
Wow.
And then there's still... I was talking to Berenice Merlot about her next travels for her press tour. She has to go to Australia, where it has yet to open. And then Asia gets it. And then South Africa. So there are still major, major markets that Bond has not reached.
Does she need an assistant to go with her on those travels? Or...
Yeah, she needs an interpreter.
Okay.
Could you step up?
Yeah. You know me.
Yeah, then you will need an interpreter. Someone who speaks Kevin to English interpreter.
She said it's a good movie. Good Bond with all the effects.
How dare you?
We'll talk more about...
Here's Kevin telling Bernice who's on the phone for her.
Oh. Leonardo DiCaprio.
That's what she's going to have to deal with.
Leonardo DiCaprio. Wrong with you?
She would love me.
Selena Gomez has announced the big reunion show of Wizards of Waverly Place. Thank God we're getting to see those beloved characters back together again after all these years.
They may have aged a lot since February.
I don't know how they're possibly going to recapture the magic after being away from the storylines for all this time. What the hell? The reason it's a story is because Justin Bieber said he would like to be on the show. Volunteered to play any role.
What a surprise.
According to sources. But Selena Gomez shot the idea down.
Love it.
On the grounds that his superstar status would detract from the project. Now, reportedly, Bieber was surprised and a little hurt by what she said. And Disney, of course, also hopes she'll change her mind regarding having him as a guest star or not. So we'll have to see what happens. Emma Watson's a good person.
Yep.
Not only is she magic... But she is working on the set of Noah, that biblical epic starring Russell Crowe as the titular character who saves all those animals on that big ark. Emma Watson has some downtime because Superstorm Sandy shut down production. They're shooting it in New York State. So instead of, you know, hanging out, reading the trades or working on scripts for other projects, she's doing what Emma Watson does. She's volunteering with the city's Meal on Wheels program and has been delivering food to senior citizens who can't leave home and get their own.
Wow.
What a sweetheart.
That's impressive.
She's a good person.
She's great. She's worth like $500 million,
yeah,
too, by
the
way.
Yeah, she is. She could buy Meals on Wheels and have someone do it for her, but she's
actually out there.
She could. And Sir Ian McKellen, who played, of course, Gandalf in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, and Sir Derek Jacobi, another legendary British actor, are teaming up together to do a British sitcom. Not something
Ian McKellen
you expect
is
from those guys.
A sitcom? He's what 75?
He is that. He's up there, and so is Derek Jacobi, by the way, who you may not know his work. Brilliant, brilliant actor. Yeah, not as well known here in the States as he is in England, but he was in...
He was in the...
Claudius was probably his biggest breakthrough.
I was thinking like Madness of King George or The King's Speech, one of those he was in. He's been in a lot of those British, those fancy British movies.
Anyway, they will play a gay British couple who have lived together for the past 50 years, and they're a funny, bickering, old, basically married couple for a British sitcom called Vicious.
Oh, that sounds
hilarious.
It's created by Gary Jannetty, who was one of the writers behind not only Will and Grace, but also worked on Family Guy.
No kidding.
A little bit, yeah. So they will play two old gay Brits who have been together for 50 years, and they snipe at each other just like any other married couple. Sounds very potentially funny. Hope we get it in the States. I don't think it's on BBC. I think it's on ITV over there, so we may not see it on BBC America. So maybe we can get the DVD or something, but that's something I'd like to watch. I like watching old gay men fight. That's what I used to do on my Friday nights. There's a fight club near my house in the valley. Yeah, Old Gay Fight Club, it's called.
It'd be like 80.
First rule of Old Gay Fight Club is no one remembers Old Gay Fight Club when it's over because they're all old. Today's celebrity birthday is a lot of hate mail for me.
Why?
Because I left out the very sexy Bonnie Raitt. Today's birthdays.
She's not an ugh.
She's an ugh.
But our audience gives her
I was
out
shocked.
House?
Trust me.
She's an ugh.
Although someone did bring up the interesting point. If you could mention Mary Hart, you could mention Bonnie Raitt.
I guess they are.
Bonnie Raitt is an amazing musician, though. Great singer, great guitar player.
So
not hot, but worth a mention.
Let's give him something to talk about and give Bonnie Raitt a little mention for her birthday. How about that? Huh?
Not interested.
What do you say?
File.
Jack Osborne's 27 years old today. Jessica Lowndes from 90210 turns 24. Azura Sky from CSI Miami's 30.
That was that Tom Cruise movie. Cameron Crowe directed.
No, that's Vanilla Sky. Different Sky. Dania Ramirez from Heroes and Entourage is 33 years old. Tara Reid from the American Pie movies is 37. How could any one woman do as much to herself as Tara Reid has done in 37 years? She had a very nice foundation to build on, by
the way.
She's
done four people's worth of damage.
Kids, if you need a cautionary tale about the evils of drink and booze and drugs and partying, get yourself a...
And plastic surgery.
Plastic surgery. She's a triple threat. Gretchen Mol from Boardwalk Empire, 40 years old today. You know what else she was in? If you didn't mention all day long, and I love this show, was Life on Mars, the American version
of the
British series Life on Mars. Hmm. She was a star of that, too, with Jason O'Mara, and I love that show. By the way, speaking of loving shows, I don't mean to take up too much time here, but imagine my shock and utter giddiness when I read a tweet from Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show saying how much he loves Arrow, the new comic book show over there on the CW.
I do love that show.
You love a comic book show.
I love that show.
You love the Green Arrow.
Yeah.
You are now one of us.
Right?
You are one of us.
I'm not one of you.
Come to us. Come to us, Kevin.
I am not one of us. But this show is really well done. It's just like an action show.
One of us. One of us. One of us. You're a geek. Yeah, you're a geek. You love Green Arrow. You love Green Arrow.
I do. I'm the CW. That's a good show.
Parker Posey's 44 years old today. Courtney Thorne-Smith turns 45. Gordon Ramsay from Hell's Kitchen and MasterChef and Kitchen Nightmares. That's my favorite Gordon Ramsay show. You ever seen Kitchen Nightmares?
No, I just know that guy yells a lot.
He shows up to restaurants that are failing and takes them over and tells the people running them how to change their lives and restaurants.
Does he ever do that nicely?
Nope. He is a mean-ass bastard. And invariably, there's one guy screaming at him. One of the owners are screaming at him by the end of the show. Love it. 46 years old. Leif Garrett is 51 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning is Friday, of course. We've got the movie beat, and Ralph will finally be able to tell us a little bit about the new James Bond movie.
Hard to talk about that movie without spoiling.
We also have Cousin Sal with his NFL picks for the weekend. We have Tony Hawk talking about the Bones Brigade documentary. We have
Strong.
Jeremy Piven on the program tomorrow. We have Braxton Southwick, who is a doomsday prepper. Have you seen that show?
Braxton Southwick must be on Gossip Girl. I'm sorry. No. There's no other possibility.
I thought he was actually the guy who gave James Bond all his equipment.
Hello, I'm Braxton Southwick. Yes, we've got some wonderful technology for you.
Tell me you're watching Doomsday Prepper. Those people are crazy.
I don't watch your freaking reality shows, your pantheon of weirdos that you enjoy.
Bean, you watch the show.
I love Doomsday.
Thank you.
Are you kidding me? It's the best.
And we have our final pair of tickets for our breakfast with Mumford & Sons tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin & Bean Show.